News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
BN4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. Give Pepper Wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
We should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man, shut the cluck up.
All right, we're back for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio for the week of April 7th. In the studio with us this week, we have five big names in the gaming industry, including Gigglebox, GambusCon.
Hey, what's up?
We have returning special guest, Justin the Killer Wolverine Testa.
Hello. No, that's not him barking.
He might bark later. Also with us from, of course, gaming-age.com, Mr. Brian the Boogeyman Peterson.
Hola.
Hola.
Also, as always, we have the Wombat 2.
What's up?
I tried to make that sound as dismal as I could.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
we got the Wombat 2.
We got the Wombat 2. Yeah. But welcome to an exciting episode, and there's a lot of giggles going on, so there'll probably be some funny stuff going on today.
Yeah, I imagine.
And also, you have to stay tuned and find out when we announce the winners of the Big Willy contest. When will that be? I don't know.
Right now. Oh, wait a minute.
First, we're going to start off with fondling your console. So, I'm using my Mecha-Leka-Hi-Mecha-Hiney-Ho Wombat. What has been fondling your console this
week?
Oh, nice.
I got Mecha-Leka-Hi-Mecha-Hiney-Ho.
You got Heidi
Ho. Didn't even get paid for it. All right, let's see. What have I been playing this week? Well, I've been playing a lot of Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors.
Yes, on the 360, which actually, you know what? I don't care what anybody says. I like it. I enjoy it.
Hey, I was on the DW Defense Force last week.
Yeah, that's true.
Much like Bartles and James, Coey, thank you for your support.
Yes, they do. They do. I thank them for making the same game with limited improvements every year for the past 8 years.
No fog this year.
No fog.
That's
no
the
fog.
New improvement.
That's the new one?
That's the improvement.
No. Actually, you can climb ladders.
Yeah, you can climb ladders and swim. Yep, you sure can.
Hey, you might
blowing
give that
your
look,
mind.
But how long was it before you could do that in GTA?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, when you're swimming, does the whole army swim with you?
I haven't experienced the entire army swimming with me yet.
Because that would be awesome, having like a big army, you know. Like
a big swimming party?
It's a big ocean full of Chinese
warriors. Like the freaking general.
It's like Chinese warrior soup.
Yeah, man, it's like the freaking general of like the castle or the king or something. He'd look over at the ocean and see a whole army of swimmers coming at him.
Very easy to pick them off with bows and arrows.
Yes. And they would also be quite tired by the time they made it to shore.
There's a lonesome rubber ducky floating in the middle of all of that.
That'd be awesome.
But no, I enjoy Dynasty Warriors. I do. I've enjoyed the series for a long time, even if it is exactly the same game every time. I have fun with it. And I was very happy to see, actually, that the first level didn't take place during the Yellow Turban Rebellion, because it seems like every other game, the first level is taking place during the Yellow Turban Rebellion, to the point where I actually know what the Yellow Turban Rebellion is just because of it. But other than that, you know, it's pretty much the same game with some cool little graphical flair.
Well, the big thing that I think that they really need to add, and I mentioned this in my review, is seriously, when are we going to get online co-op?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the welcome to 2001.
Right.
Seriously. Come on, that game screams online co-op.
It does, absolutely.
Well, we got another 2001 thing to talk about later
yes,
on
we
in
do.
This episode.
Yes, we do. But we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. So, I played that. I also played... What else did I play this week?
I don't know.
I got... God of War Chains of Olympus from Gamefly, finally.
Did you beat it yet?
I played it for like 5 minutes because I didn't have much time. So I'm like halfway through. we had the same joke going.
It was going. That's all the gears turning.
So I played just a very small smattering of that.
Is it awesome?
Yeah, it is awesome. The little bit that I played of it was.
I wish I played PSP games to actually play through this because I'm waiting on that because you know they're going to do the PS2 version.
Right.
You know they will. They do that with all the big PS2 mini games.
Right.
It's like the Ratchet and Clank they did it, Siphon Filter they did it. You know they're going to do it. And when they do, I'll be there.
Right.
Oh, we talked about something earlier in the week. Don't waste your time with the button code on God of War 2. It doesn't change a thing.
Doesn't change a thing?
I tried it, so.
All right.
I was hoping to at least make it full screen. Full screen.
Right.
Not the fake full screen that the PS3 claims that it has.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, anyways, moving past God of War 2.
Chains of Olympus.
Chains of Olympus. No, well,
oh,
he was talking
okay,
about
right,
God
okay.
of War 2.
Just ignore me.
Yeah, we do anyway.
Everybody else does.
So, I played, what else did I play this week?
You continue
really
to ask me like I'm going to know.
I'm not asking you, I'm asking myself, motherfucker.
Hey,
it makes sense.
Way
it
to go.
Makes sense.
Outside of his soul.
I did play some.
What am I playing?
I did play some MLB 08 The Show.
The Show? Really?
Yes.
I wouldn't imagine you play that.
Not a whole lot, but I did play a little bit of that. This week wasn't actually a huge game playing week for me. When I did get time to play games, I played Dynasty Warriors. So, I also played a couple demos on the PSP. I played the Flat Out demo on the PSP.
Oh, that's up.
Yep.
Is it good on the PSP?
Yeah, it's basically the same as the next gen versions. It's just, you know, graphically, obviously, it's not as good. And control wise, it's a little loose. It's very easy to fishtail.
But it's that way in the console version, so.
Right. The demo actually has the high jump in it, which is cool. And then just like the regular race, so you can play both. Also played the new Wipeout demo on the PSP, and it's Wipeout.
Wipeout, I mean,
Pulse, yeah. It's good, but I mean it's Wipeout. I don't know what else to say about it.
Oh my God, did you see the new footage of HD?
Yes, it looks gorgeous.
Wow, and this like the way you can import your custom soundtracks and it, like shows it on the track, doing the synthesizer and stuff. Oh,
real cool.
I am so hyped for Wipeout HD.
Real cool.
Cannot wait to play that.
But Pulse is, like I said, it's good. It controls well. But, you know, like I said, it's Wipeout. If you've never been a fan of Wipeout, you're not going to like it. If you like Wipeout, you'll love it. So, and then lastly, the demo I played the most of was R-Type Command.
How is that? I'm really interested in that.
I like it quite a bit, which surprises me. I wasn't expecting to really. I like Disgaea, which is the same kind of, you know, turn-based tactical strategy kind of.
Wait, did you said R-Type?
Yeah.
This is a strategy game?
Yeah, you didn't know about this?
I really didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought it was a shooter.
Yeah. It's set up.
Damn you for name deception.
It's
that's why they threw the command in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's 2D.
Interesting.
And you've got a grid, and when you start out, it kind of reminds me of Battleship when you first start out, because you have a set number of hexes that you can use to fill up your ships or fill up with ships, but each ship takes up a different number of hexes. So you might have a big battleship that takes up quite a few, and then you might have a fighter that only takes up one, and you can sort of space them out however you want them, as long as they all fit. You'll start the thing, and your turn is first, obviously. And it plays out just like a, you know, tactical strategy game. You make a move. You can move a certain number of squares, and then if there's an enemy in range, you can choose to attack. You choose which attack you want, which enemy you want to attack, and it plays out just like, you know, your typical strategy tactical RPG.
But the look of it, it looks like an R-Type.
Yeah, it looks just like R-Type. Like it's got the same ships and everything. Everything's kind of the levels, even the little levels that you're in, kind of look like an R-Type level. It's different, obviously, from the R-Type series, but from a lot of strategy RPGs too, just because it's there's different the way they do the terrain. Instead of like a lot of strategy RPGs where there's like, you know, there might be forest or uphill or downhill, and it might slow your troops down or whatever.
Yeah.
In R-Type, you can run into like asteroid field, or you can run into like debris or whatever, and it slows you up. Or there's some parts that are underwater, and like half the level will be underwater and half the level will be above the water. And depending on whether you're under or over water, you can move more squares.
This game's coming out really soon.
Yeah, it comes out May, I think, May 5th.
From Atlas.
Yeah, from Atlas.
Surprising.
So, it I enjoy it a lot. I know some people don't really like it, and if you're a fan of the like 2D shooter R-Type, there's probably some stuff in it you'll like. But if you don't like turn-based RPG style, you know, strategy games, do not buy it just because it says R-Type, because you'll be disappointed.
Well, deception coming.
Right.
I'm a fan of both.
So you'll love it. Trust me. You'll love it. It's
Sweet,
really good.
Man.
Download the demo. It's on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, on your PSP.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I enjoy it.
Cool.
So it gets a thumbs up from the Wombat.
The thumbs up from the Wombat. So what are you looking forward to playing this week?
Well, I'm looking forward to finishing God of War. That's the big thing, which should take me all of 10 minutes. I'm looking forward to sending back God of War and hopefully getting Viking. If I don't just break down and buy it before then, because I want to play it so bad, it's ridiculous.
Well, after everybody, the three people in this room that have the game and are playing it, talk about it this week, you probably will go
yeah,
out
I probably
and
will.
Buy it. So.
Too bad that deal's still not going on, or is it?
I don't know. I don't know if it is or not.
Mono check Grant came crazy on your way home.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that.
50% off Sega games.
50% off Sega games. I'll talk about that later, too.
Okay.
Yay.
But that's pretty much it. I hope to play those two. Hopefully, I'll get to play Big Willy Unleashed finally. Hopefully, we'll get our shipment in here so we can not only so I can play it and review it, but so we can pass the prizes along to the winners who will announce at some random point in this podcast.
Some random point.
So, but other than that, I think that pretty much sums it up. That's pretty much all I'm going to be playing until Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So, GTA, just trying to catch up
week.
On stuff. Yep.
Yeah, it's catch-up time.
Yep.
So, Mr. Ketchup, who's been on vacation.
Speaking of which, before we move into that, I just want to say.
The contest is now?
No.
Oh.
Oh, dirty.
Before we move into that, I just want to say that after reading a lot of interviews and watching a lot of videos and just reading a bunch of random stuff about it this week while I was bored. I am now, if this is possible, even more hyped for Grand Theft Auto. Like, it's to the point now where I just, like, it's driving me crazy.
I'm keeping my hype in check. Just because Vice City and San Andreas were such disappointments to me because I just didn't have as much. I'm not saying they're not as good games. I just didn't have as much fun in their worlds. I think is the big thing, especially San Andreas, because I just didn't appeal to me. The gang wars, the turf wars and stuff. I hate that stuff in Saints Row. I do.
Right.
So I'm really hoping that keeping my hype down.
Thing is, and I'm doing my typical hype meter by not checking out anything, just like I did with Bioshock. Everybody's like trying to tell me something about Grand Theft. I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. I will wait for it. I want the game so badly, I don't even want to think about it until
right.
the game comes in. The only thing I've seen lately was the GameStop Liberty City commercial. So it's like an advertisement for Liberty City. It's like, welcome to Liberty City, where you can do this and this and this. And it's really, really good in-depth commercial and shows you like all the stuff you can do. And that's about as much as I really want to see at this point in time because I don't want to spoil anything.
That'll right. probably that Mario Kart. Will
granted,
probably,
you know, even though Rockstar is like really, really great about keeping this game under wraps, hell,
oh,
they
yeah.
still haven't even shown gameplay footage yet.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I know that this everything they're showing is quote unquote in-game engine.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to see what the frame rate looks like when you actually turn and stuff. That's the only thing that kind of is my big concern because I've you know, the early stuff that they did show
was
there's
rough.
Some frame rate issues. Yeah.
Here's a question. For everybody, actually. Not the question's not for everybody,
right.
but the answer is for everybody. Are they is GameStop planning on doing a midnight sale for either Mario Kart or
I asked this question earlier.
Grand Theft Auto?
And the answer is basically, and this is for all you listeners out there too, both. Gans will be a midnight launch, depending on your location. Please see your location for details.
There you go.
But like my store, for instance, we're in a mall where the mall management
won't let you.
Well, they'll let us for $1,000.
Right.
I'm like, you know, I said I'm not. You know, granted, you know, we might need that kind of security for a Grand Theft Auto launch, but no, we're not going to pay that kind of money, so we're not going to do a midnight launch. But like all of our strip stores around us, and even Bob's store is going to do it. So
nobody knows who Bob
nobody
is.
Nobody knows who Bob is.
But anyway, moving on back to the games.
Anyway,
you've been
I just wanted to know both for myself and for our many listeners who may be curious.
But yes, both games, depending on your location. Which if you have a strip store in your location that's not set in the mall, guaranteed midnight. Your mall, check your mall for details, kind of a thing. So
all right, cool. So. Mr. Vacation.
What do you find?
Mr. Vacation.
He's been off all week. He's had some time to play some games.
I got to go back tomorrow. Oh, that's so sad. And I only got another 4 weeks before I get another vacation.
Oh, boo.
I'm going to work for another 4 weeks. Yeah, that's what being old gets you. Get a lot of vacation time.
You've been there a century, that's why.
Well,
oddly enough, here's the surprise of the show, is I haven't played a lot of the show.
The show surprise is no show.
Basically, the show in my console has been a no show. And the biggest reason is I was really expecting.
It's a lot of show, going on.
I was really expecting the show to show me some love on the roster updates. The big roster update came on Monday on opening day, but it wasn't an opening day roster. They had a few updates, like 195 tweaks, but there's still a lot of the rookies and Japanese players who aren't in the game, which I'm assuming will be here on Monday. So, Fukudome, I guess
but
is his name.
But
it
may not.
It.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter because Sony's been pretty much shutting down like downloads until their new PS Store.
Well, the good thing about the show, it's weekly.
Okay, so they are going to continue.
Yeah, that's
so
a
I know the PSN updates are done until the new design is
right.
up, so we won't see anything.
The show does a weekly update every Monday.
Right.
So,
just like Rock Band.
And it's through the game, not the
right.
Well,
not
that's
the
good.
Store.
That's good.
And so I'm hoping to see a roster update so I can begin my franchise, because I started a franchise ages ago, or when the game first came out, and just didn't get that much into it because there's a lot of players who were non-roster invites that actually made my team. I'm a Cardinals fan, and Brian Barton's on the team. Boo you. long and short of it is, didn't play a lot of the show because I'm waiting for the roster update. In the road of the show mode, just too difficult for me because I suck at it. So,
well, let's talk about what you are playing.
So what I did play this week was a lot, actually. Finally, The Rock has beat Uncharted on the PS3.
Uncharted, yes.
That's my first late to the party game
to the party.
Of the week. I sat down and in a 2 day span because everybody knows that I can't sit down for multiple hours, and Ken's very aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
I can't sit down for multiple hours and play a game. But in a 2 day span, I played 8 hours of Uncharted, which is like miracle work for me.
Yeah,
well,
that's
because
that's
you
magic
can't
for
stop
you.
Playing it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the
so
game.
I sat down and beat Uncharted in 2 days, and wow.
Yeah.
If you own a PS3 and you don't own Uncharted, slap yourself right now.
Right now.
I'll give you a second.
Hard.
Slap yourself. I don't want to hear
it. You
don't
have Uncharted yet? No, I have it.
Okay.
Oh. I was going
to
say.
Game
was slapped by
the game is brilliant, and oddly enough, I was looking at the game ranking reviews afterwards, and severely underrated.
Not on our site.
No.
Yeah, that's
Mortal
right.
Kombat
well,
gave it
like,
a 9.5.
It deserved every point
of
it.
I agree. I mean, I was even looking at the old Game Informer issue, giving it like an 8.25. But yet they gave Assassin's Creed a 9.
Yeah.
And I feel like vomiting after I saw that.
Hey,
as
I
much as I do,
like
I do like
Assassin's
Creed.
But it's not a 9.
Creed.
No.
It's not a 9.
No, I mean.
The score should have been reversed.
The difference with Assassin's Creed and Uncharted is Uncharted doesn't revisit anything throughout their game, unlike Assassin's Creed, which.
Revisits
and
everything.
Uncharted is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but Uncharted.
And the story. It's playing a blockbuster movie.
But the thing about the story is, even the story with other characters would probably have not been as good. But because the characters were so well fleshed out, the voice acting was fantastic, the animation was spot on, because of all that, it made what was already a pretty good story even better.
Right.
So, yeah, Uncharted was definitely it was my number two game of last year, actually.
Yeah, actually, and to be honest with you, I was telling Zero this earlier in the week. If I would have played this last year when I played everything else, or the little bit I got to play during the holidays, it would have gotten my number one over BioShock.
Yeah, it fought very,
not
very,
that I don't love
closely.
BioShock, so all you BioShock fans out there, don't have a freaking heart attack. But I was explaining the big difference is there was a couple parts in BioShock where I didn't want to fetch quest. I didn't want to do it. I'm just like, I don't care about going and get some freaking tubing for this thing. I just want to, you know, is that the only tubing way I can progress through this mission? Damn it, I don't want to. I really don't want to do this.
You want to get right. some tube slider?
Right. there was never a dull moment in Uncharted. And
absolutely.
It's actually, much like God of War, will be a game I'll probably go back and play one more time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's an excellent game.
Yeah.
Excellent game.
It fought it out very hard for Game of the Year last
year
with me.
You
have
a PS3, you need to buy Uncharted. If you don't have a PS3, you know what? There's a lot of games coming out. You really should probably,
look into buying one of those.
Yeah, I mean, wait a minute. There's a hush over the crowd as we just gave the PS3 some serious praise.
I think somebody's head just exploded.
I know. Also, what I've been playing this week, more late to the party goodness, played a lot of the Simpsons game, something I actually bought over the holidays, much like everything else that I bought over the holidays, and never got quite the chance to finish it. And
now, are you talking about Bart versus the Space Mutants on the NES?
No. Nor am I not talking about Bart meets Radioactive Man, either.
Or Bart versus the World.
Yeah. Or any of those other terrible, terrible Simpsons games. This is the Simpsons game from EA Sports. Or EA.
But EA Sports.
EA Sports. We did the Simpsons game.
But EA and the... No, I mean, the gameplay was never there. I mean, there's a lot of parts where it's kind of frustrating, and the collision detection is way off, especially when you're trying to jump off something and grab onto...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Shadow of the Colossal Donut is
yeah. But for the most part, I mean, the game is still very, very playable. But what gets you is basically you're watching a very lost episode of The Simpsons because it's extremely hilarious throughout the cutscene. Haven't seen an episode this funny, like, in ages. And be honest with you, from what I've played so far, and I'm about 60% through the game, is actually funnier than The Simpsons movie. So, just a lot of inside jokes, a lot of love, a lot of hats off and kudos to games out there. And I'm not just talking about EA games in general.
No.
They give nods to, like, all kinds of games and gaming people like Will Wright and stuff like that. And it's just absolutely brilliant game. So if you haven't played it yet and you're a Simpsons fan, you should actually get out there and get it. It's actually should be in the bargain bin by now, too. So, which is fine. There's a level called the bargain bin in
yes, there,
too.
Yes, there is.
But very well done on that game. Also playing this week, there's a lot I've been playing this week just for the fact I've been on vacation. Yay.
Just for the fact I've been on vacation. Yay.
Played some Ratchet and Clank on the PS3. Played the first two missions. And stunning. Stunning game. That's all I have to say about that game. I haven't played enough of it because only two missions in. But the only thing I can say about the game that it's kind of lacking is the humor. There's it's missing the animation style humor that the Ratchet and Clank series had in the past. There's a few little jokes in there at the beginning, but so far it's not slapstick as it used to be, which is kind of disappointing. So, but if you like platformers in Ratchet and Clank, Future Tools of Destruction,
yes.
I think is what it's
right.
called.
I was like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, looking for the side title for the PS3 is absolutely, it's beautiful. It's one of the prettiest games on the PS3. And something they actually fixed was the screen tearing from the demo, which I was happy to see. So I'm kind of nitpicky when it comes. You know, I can handle slowdown, and I can handle, you know, rough textures and stuff like that, but screen tearing for some reason just bugs the piss out of me.
Did it bother you with Uncharted? Because there's some screen tearing in Uncharted.
There is, but the good thing with Uncharted is you don't have to worry about dicking with the camera too much.
Right.
But I'm talking about like when you're panning around, you're looking for something, you see the freaking screen tearing left and right. It's like, it irritates me. Anyway, reminds me of a PC game, which that's why I hate PC games. But thankfully, it's not in that game. What else have I been playing? Actually, been downloading some stuff off the Xbox Live Arcade. Given the Xbox Live, oddly enough, kind of stayed away from the 360 this week, minus the Simpsons game. But what I did play on the 360 was download the Rocky and Bullwinkle Pinball Table for the Pinball FX game.
How much is that?
Only 200 points, which is very, very, you know, you figure. You know,
it's a dollar,
yeah.
I think. Something like that.
No, it's
$250.
Yeah, it's $250.
$250.
Worth every penny, because it's a very well-made pinball game. It has all kinds of things like Mr. Know-It-All and Fractured Fairy Tales, like sound effects and stuff like that on there, and it's done really well. It's got like these cardboard cutouts of like Dudley Do-Right rescuing a person from the train when the ball's getting injected from the plunger and stuff like that. I mean, it's a lot of neat little effects on there, and just a fun little pinball game, and really, really hard to get points to unless you start figuring out where all the hot spots are on the pinball machine. So, excuse me. I also downloaded Sonic the Hedgehog on Live Arcade just because I had some extra points lying around, but I just really, really wanted to play that. And of course, now I'm kind of kicking myself for doing it now that I've dug the Dreamcast out. And I've been doing doing some Dreamcast love, oddly enough.
Welcome to 1999.
Yeah. I just had to because I wanted to play Shenmue again. So,
gotcha.
So I dug out that, and of course I also start playing a disc that I can't mention on the air.
Right.
So
dirty disc.
Evil disc. But playing a lot of stuff on that disc, which is just a lot of fun. So. Let's see. Demo wise, I actually didn't download anything.
Yeah, I didn't download any demos this week either.
Because Army 2 and Sega are already played, so.
You didn't download UEFA?
No, I unfortunately have to review that soccer game when it comes out, so.
Unfortunately.
I don't like soccer. High kicking, low scoring, and ties, you bet. Don't like soccer. Last but not least, kind of a late to the party here. It's not really old. Came out, what, right after the first of the year? It wasn't a holiday title, was it?
What's that?
My next title that I've been talking about all week.
I don't remember.
Folklore.
Okay.
For the PS3.
No, it came out in September, I thought.
Was it September? Really?
Was it? Wow, it's been out that long?
Yeah, it's been out a long time.
Really? Yeah, it's been out a while. I think it came out in September because Lair came out in August.
A lot to talk about in this game for the fact that I totally blew this game off. I played the demo, and I thought it was interesting, but it didn't grab me at first. And
it's because you didn't jerk the six axis up.
Right.
You didn't jerk hard enough. You'd have liked it better if you'd have jerked harder.
That's what she said.
Where's my rim shot?
Yeah. For the last, two or three weeks, me and Zero have been talking about this game for a while because it dropped in price at a lot of retailers. And except for Game Crazy, oddly enough, they still want $60 for it.
Nice.
But we were talking about getting it, and I decided I had some bunch of trade-in fodder I just wanted to get rid of. And I was like, well, hell, why not? Go ahead and get that. If you haven't played it, and let me put it this way, if you like mythical style games that have to deal with, like, if you're interested in stuff like Halloween and Stonehenge and mythological stuff like, you know, dragons and fairies and beasts and stuff like that.
Oh my.
Basically what they take is a modern day world in Scotland, and you got all these Scottish accents going on. And in Scotland there's a little town that has a portal to the netherworld, and a murder happens, and so basically you're communicating with the dead in the netherworld, and you're trying to solve the mystery of the murder. But while you're there, you find out that this whole village is doomed and plagued by this, you know, tirade of murders that's been going on. Basically, everybody who's visited the village has had a murder in their family somewhere or another, and so as you're trying to solve the original murder that you're there to do in the first place, all these other murders start coming about, and they actually kind of tie together. So I'm kind of curious how this is going to outcome. But what's neat about the game is it does take a good use of the six-axis controller, as he kind of joked about earlier. But
it really does. I love it.
Has like a Ghostbusters kind of a feel. Because basically you'll sit there and you'll beat on an enemy until their little spirit that's inside them, it glows green when you first hit them. But when you hit them so much and get their life span down to almost nothing, their spirit glows red, and you take the six-axis controller, hold down the R trigger, and whip back on the controller.
Yeah.
And it'll suck the spirit out of them. And then what's cool is you obtain the spirit. So depending on what you've got, It could be like a little short-range attack, little goblin who will give you little short-range attacks. It could be a goblin who shoots these, like, water bubbles, which will shoot things out of the sky. There's, like, these wasps in the middle of the air that will come at you, and you got to have that particular power to shoot them out of the sky. But you'll get, like, huge behemoths. You'll get, like, lion-style mid-range attack guys. And it just – and basically every big enemy you fight in a game has a certain strategic element. And when you're talking to the villagers and the fairies throughout the game, you'll get a page out of this book that allows you to see what the weak leave the fairies alone. You'll get these pages that'll show you like where all the weak spots of the enemy. So when you're getting ready to counter a huge folklore, which is the huge bosses in each mission, they'll show you where the weak spots are and which style of attack to kind of use on them. So. Very cool the way they've used the ability to capture all these creatures. And
you gotta catch
the thing
them all.
is, you only have four. You know, you have your square, X, circle, and triangle to equip these monsters with, and you'll get like I'm sure by the end of this game hundreds of these freaking creatures. So you got to have a good strategy element on what you want to use at certain times. What's cool thing is you can actually change the stuff on the fly, so you don't have to worry about being stuck. So right before you hit a boss.
Switching?
Yeah, pretty much. Real time.
Well,
that joke switching.
Lost itself for a minute. Like, what?
It's been a while since that joke's been been out.
But the neat thing, what it reminds me of is kind of like there's a game they released about 6-8 years ago called Shadow of Destiny from Konami, which was basically you're trying to solve your own murder, and the whole like artwork and style is done in this kind of a manner. The game is extremely gorgeous. It's very colorful. The use of lighting in the game is unbelievable. The surround sound in the game is probably one of the best surround sound uses I've heard in a game, like, ever. I mean, it's one of the best sound qualities I've heard. Everything's so clear and, you know, crystal, like, as you can hear, like, everything, like, surrounding you. It's pretty awesome. But what's neat also is, like, when they're doing the storytelling, not only is it done in CG cutscenes, which are really, really well done, and with great Scottish voice acting and stuff, no Sean Connery or anything, but, yeah. But the cutscenes are also done when...
folklore.
Which, actually, a lot of reviewers are complaining about, but I really kind of like it, is a panel-style comic way of telling the story along.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so you have, like, these... You'll have like it'll like basically switch from panel to panel telling the story, but the panels are actually animated, so they're kind of animated as they do the little thing. But if you like action, I hate to say RPG, but you do level up and stuff like this, so I would say action RPG. But it plays more like a Devil May Cry game than anything. Maybe not as frantic or hectic, or, you know, has a better camera than Devil May Cry. But
here we go.
But if you like, you know, murder mysteries, and you like action games, and this game like should like definitely be on your PS3 list. It's one of the most unique and original games I've played. And what's neat that'll keep you playing the game for a while is you have two characters in the game. Ellen and Keats is the gentleman's name. And while they're both of their stories cross the same path, and they're both getting to the eventual end of the game, and you basically take the same path to get to there, but you'll fight different enemies and different outcomes of storylines break out. So you can actually like play chapter one of Ellen and then go through and play chapter one of Keats. And while at the beginning it seems very familiar, everything kind of changes. So you can actually play two characters and come to the same conclusion.
That's pretty cool.
Much like Resident Evil 2. So... And basically what you do actually affects what happened in the other game. So I'm playing as Ellen's. Some of the things that happened that I did as Ellen kind of affects what happened when Keats is going through, which is kind of cool. So
there you go.
So definitely, long-winded review of folklore. But I have to say, you know, I'm very excited about the game and kind of can't wait to go home and play some more of it later. So. And I think that is it as far as what I'm looking forward to playing. Of course, more folklore. There's nothing coming out this week at all.
Nope.
So basically, it's going to be more late to the party stuff. I'll, you know, continue to play The Simpsons. I finally got Mass Effect back.
Nice.
So I'll finally be
need
digging
to sink
into that.
Some time into that.
I'm going to beat Folklore first, just to be fair.
Yeah, good idea.
I enjoy it too much. So yeah, there you go.
The one thing I forgot when I was doing my fondling is I also, you want to talk about late to the party, I played Battletoads this week.
But have you played it before?
Yeah.
Well, then it doesn't count.
Well, but I just needed to mention that I played Battletoads.
They're reserving
it
at GameStop.
Are they? Reserving Battletoads at GameStop?
That's a bad message board joke.
Oh.
I did too.
Did you? Nice. I enjoyed some Battletoads this week.
That game's tough, man.
I also played Battletoads and Double Dragon.
I did not play Battletoads and Double Dragon. I just played the original. And since you talked about camera with Folklore, I need to mention this too, since I was so glowing about it. Dynasty Warriors on 360 might have the worst camera in a game I've ever played in my life. I need to mention that before people rush out and go buy it because I gave it a good review. Its camera is completely and utterly abysmal. So,
all right.
Moving on.
So, Mr. Wolverine, what have you been playing besides a little RROD?
It's been an interesting week. I started out playing a lot of Viking. A lot of Viking.
Battle really for good. Asgard?
Hey, Asgards are important.
They are.
But it's good. It's not like the most impressive game out there. And it's
kinda, what? In your butt.
It kind of reminds me of a Fable without, you know, the RPG elements. You do upgrade
your
sword.
Utter crushing disappointment.
Stop.
And the guy
just
going,
stop.
Hey.
And the
chicken kicker.
I like Fable.
You know, I thought Fable was pretty good, but it was very disappointing. Anyways, we're not talking about Fable.
Right.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't even know what else. Yeah. But, no, I like it. I've been playing a lot of it, and I think that was the ultimate death of my 360.
You red ring.
Dun,
I
dun,
did.
Dun,
I dun. My second system hit, got the red ring.
You think it's because you were playing Viking?
I don't know. Or that, or I played my PS3. I actually that.
Maybe the Viking kicked the shit out of your 360.
It probably did. But I finally got a PS3. So
great Odin's beer.
When I first got it, didn't play any games. I just watched movies on it.
So it's an overpriced DVD player. What's going on?
So
it's a really good up converter, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I played Viking, and then I wanted to play The Simpsons because I game fly The Simpsons, and put that in, played that for a little bit, turned it off, watched a movie on the PS3. After the movie was over, like, all right, before I go to bed, I want to play more of The Simpsons. Turned it on.
Red ring.
Red ring. Like, shit. So just to make sure that it is dead, I turned it off, turned it back on. Red ring.
Red ring of death.
I'm like, whatever, I'm going to bed. So I wake
so
up and,
used to it by now.
I just want to say that 2 years and 5 months, my original Xbox is still kicking.
Eh,
you're a part of an elite
knock
club.
On wood. And then when I wake up the next afternoon,
definitely not morning in there.
I couldn't, you know, believe that my system died, so I turned it on. Red ring of death. So I went out and got Uncharted for the PS3. Love it. It's absolutely a great game. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the subtle things, too. I was talking
beautiful.
To,
beautiful.
I was talking to Ken about it. Like, when you go into water, your clothes get wet.
Yeah.
What other game have, you know...
You know what? You know what? Oddly enough, the first thing that I noticed when I was playing it that really kind of hit me, and this is the stupidest thing in the world to notice, but it was just, as far as the animation goes... Have you got to the submarine yet?
Yeah.
When you're in the submarine and he walks through the like little porthole doors, he puts his hand up and blocks his head from the thing. And for some reason, I was just like, man, that is so... Yeah. Like, you don't think about details like that, but it really does make it a heck of a lot more realistic.
Well, we also talked about like how incredible the voice acting is.
Right.
There's the part where he's like walking through the thing. She's like, be careful. And he's like, okay, I'll be... You know, it's like, okay, I'll be fine. He turns around and hits his head on the top of the He's like, I didn't just do that.
Yeah.
It's just the realism of the way the guy is. Or like when he's like looking through a plate glass window and you can't hear – the enemies can't hear what he's saying. And he's like – and they're like making fun of him. He's like, whatever. You know, just the attitude that was in the game is just hilarious. Yeah. So I would like to see them make kind of
mini sequels
or something like that.
Agree. The voice acting was amazing. The story is amazing so far. I don't know why I didn't get above, what did you guys say, an 8?
Some one of the, it, some places it just gave depends. It low. Yeah.
I don't see how. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. There's not a damn thing I see wrong with it besides the screen tearing. But no, that was one incident that
minor,
I saw.
And
so
there's
far.
Some there's some pop in too, but it's pretty minor too. It's definitely no Mass Effect when it comes to pop in.
And then our colleague Professor Chaos, I was talking to him about how good Uncharted was because he wasn't too impressed with it.
Yeah, he wasn't huge.
And I'm like, really? And he compared it to Mass Effect and how I think that Uncharted looked better than Mass Effect. I'm like, hands down, it looks better
Uncharted
than Mass
blows
Effect.
Mass Effect
I've never seen a game look this good.
Right.
Yeah. And I know I've dogged a PS3 a lot, and I'm eating a lot of those, you know, everything
well,
I've
once
said
you see,
so
once
far.
Once you see a game like Uncharted, yeah. it's hard not to appreciate.
And the screenshots don't do it justice, because when I first saw it, I'm like, yeah, okay, it looks good. No. But then when you actually see it, it's amazing. So I take back some stuff I said about the PS3.
A lot of PS3 love on this episode. People are going to think they're listening to the wrong show.
You ain't got to me yet. Hold on.
You don't really see the realize the power of it until you see Uncharted. It's
right.
just
power.
It's really impressive.
No, you didn't see the power of it until you saw MotorStorm.
Well,
beautiful.
Yeah,
MotorStorm.
Sorry,
gorgeous. But, I wasn't huge on MotorStorm, but it was.
And you don't even have to like that game to just.
I hate
it
racing.
And go, holy God!
And when he played it on the launch title, it was. It was just gorgeous. So I've been playing Uncharted, and then I put it down. I refused to let my 360 die.
so giving it CPR.
I was going to say CPR.
You gave it mouth to system tray.
I turned it on. It's still red ring. And then Professor Chaos told me about something on. I guess he read on N4G saying you put a towel. Over
yeah, you wrap a towel around it,
and you plug it in. And you leave it on for 2 to 3 hours.
That's in the manual now.
It should be because lo and behold. It worked.
What does the towel do?
You put the power on it.
It heats the system up.
Yeah.
The red ring of death is a solder problem.
Right.
And it heats the solder up so that it melts and it goes back in place.
Yeah.
And then it fixes your system.
I left it on when I was playing Uncharted.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
See,
That's a terrible towel.
It was on for 4 hours, my system, because I left it on playing Uncharted. And then I stopped playing. I unwrapped the system. It was hot, really warm.
Yeah.
And then I turned it off, turned it back on.
And it worked.
So I played Viking more. Because at this time I got rid of Mass Effect and Simpsons because I game flied them both.
Right.
And because I thought, I already called Microsoft and they're sending me a box or whatever. And so I thought the system was done. So I send those two back and I, like, shit.
I wonder if that's what they do when you ship them back to Microsoft.
They just wrap
the towel factory up. Just wrap it up, like, let's go.
So I played Viking. It was done for the day. Turned it off. Wanted to play more later on, turn it on, guess what?
Red Ring of Death.
Red Ring of Death.
Yeah, it could be. Because that could also explain why when people get their systems quote-unquote repaired, why it breaks down so quickly again.
Yeah.
When people complain that they get the Red Ring again. Probably because they just wrapped it in the towel.
They just wrapped it in the towel.
Send it back. Like, here, thanks.
And so the second time it happened, I was on the phone with Ken. Xbox. No, I was on the phone because you were playing Rock Band?
Probably.
I don't remember. So I'm like, shit, so much for playing online. So I was going to go look at getting Unreal and a headset, but I don't have the money for it. So I was like, whatever. So I didn't get anything. So I tried it again.
I didn't forget about Unreal. I just thought I'd wait for your fondling.
Oh, yeah.
Did you wrap it?
I wrapped in a towel game, this time for 2 hours after, and you know, playing Uncharted for 2 hours, and then wrapped it in towel and unwrapped it. And it worked. Again, this time... Knock on wood. God willing, I hope it still works when I get home, but it's working.
Thank you for calling Microsoft Tech Support and Tau Distribution Center.
Yeah.
So, Viking is really one of the big ones. Played through the Halo maps, the new maps.
Yeah.
Like I said, The Simpsons and Mass Effect finally, but I have to get it back again later. What? I don't remember. A little bit of Rock Band.
We played the Still Alive.
Yeah.
I'm still alive. From GLaDOS.
Oh, that's the song that's on there.
Yeah, it's free.
Okay.
Yeah, from Portal.
I saw the Still Alive. I'm like, keep thinking Pearl Jam for some reason. I know it wasn't it, but...
I'm still alive.
That makes more sense, so...
Don't.
We played Condemned for like
Condemned,
3 hours last
night. The multiplayer. I didn't play the single
player
yet. And it's as generic as you could get. It really is not good. It's not good.
It's the only thing not good about that game.
Is it as bad as the Kingdom Under Fire multiplayer?
It's worse.
On the original Xbox?
It's worse.
See, I
Strangleholds multiplayer?
Yeah. I'd rather play Strangleholds a million times than...
It's just awful.
Like, literally, you just run at each other and punch.
Yeah.
Like, it's so
bad.
And the
punching just looks retarded.
Yeah, it looks bad in third person when you see the other person punch and they're like...
Because you're just like I don't even know if your arm bends. It just kind of like shoots up like from your side. Oh. It's awful.
I also tried to play Metal Gear and Snake's Revenge. I just couldn't do it. Both those games are terrible.
Oh, that's the only thing bad about Condemned is that multiplayer.
I'm looking forward to playing single player. And now Folklore, because I need another PS3 game. But I need Unreal and Warhawk on top of that. But
Warhawk's
Gamefly the show.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you said that.
Yeah, and something else. I forget what it is. Might be Unreal. Shit, I don't know at this point. I don't know what to do about my 360 problem either, so...
Oh, well.
If I send it back to Microsoft, and if it works, what...
Well, just wait till it red rings again, and then send it back.
What if it doesn't red ring again?
It will.
It will. It's a 360. What if it doesn't do it for... My warranty's only... It's good till next year. So,
trust me, it'll break at least four times between now and then.
Knowing my luck, how many people actually have their system come back from the red ring?
A lot of people with the towel trick.
Yeah.
Well, now...
The thing is, though, the towel trick...
Longer than how long?
The towel trick is only a temporary fix.
Yeah, no, it's
right?
Only temporary, which I thought I'd only get a day, but it's been, 2 days now?
Well, just leave it on. By the time your box gets here, it'll red ring again. Shit, it ain't that hard.
Guaranteed.
It's easy to red ring a 360. Come on. You ain't trying hard enough.
All you gotta do is, put it in your chest of drawers and turn it on.
All you gotta do is turn it on. Shit.
So, I don't know. I guess I'll send it back and then...
So does that wrap up your fondling?
I don't remember. Sure.
Okay.
Shoe's coming undone now.
Never mind. We'll just move on to Gambus Khan since he's not really paying attention.
It's too
anyway.
Late. His shoe's undone.
So, Mr. Khan, what's been fondling you this week?
Well, on the portable front, I played a little bit more of Final Fantasy Crisis Core.
And?
Shut up.
And it is freaking amazing. It's really good. It's the gameplay is kind of quasi... real-time, turn-based in a way, but it doesn't look like turn-based. It's kind of like Mass Effect with guns. I mean, with swords.
Mass Effect, what am I saying? I have to ask you a question here because what this is kind of... I know you probably read this, but I know I'm jaded. But when I asked you about the slot machine last week, did you take it as an offense?
No.
Like I was dogging the game?
No.
Because somebody on the forum said I was dogging the game because I asked about the slot machine minigame.
I'm like,
just nitpicking everything I say. I'm like, you just follow me around. What's going on?
Yeah, you were like, yeah, it seemed kind of weird.
Yeah, because there's no structure.
It's random.
It's just random, and that's why I asked you, because I was curious if it really was random, if there was something behind it.
I think it has to do with the skill points, but it could be random. Because when I'm in the heat of battle, I don't really pay attention to like the skill points that I'm getting and stuff like that. But the game is really, really awesome. The graphics, some of the best graphics on a PSP I've ever seen. Really good presentation. Good music. It's like, man, they really went all out on this game. It's freaking awesome. It kind of reminds me of a much more defined Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, that's what I've been playing on my PSP. And let me think, what else? On my PlayStation 3, I got to play Appleseed Ex Machina on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that a game?
It's my PS3 fondling. Yeah.
You need to buy Folklore, my friend.
What's that?
You need to buy Folklore.
He needs to play games. He's got a copy of Condemned for the PS3.
Don't you have Uncharted?
Yeah.
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 He doesn't need more games. He needs to play more that he's got.
Exactly, but yeah, I checked out Blu-ray Appleseed. Pretty good movie.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, it's. I actually liked it better than the first movie, which I didn't think I would. But
I liked the first one.
Yeah,
how was the Justice League movie?
Justice League movie, New Frontier. It's freaking awesome, man.
Did you buy it on Blu-ray?
No,
I did.
You did?
It was on sale
for $20.
It was on sale for $20.
Dude, I want to get it on Blu-ray.
I have it on Blu-ray.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
What'd you think?
It's different. It's like all about the Green Lantern. Like that's like the core center of the movie is about the Green Lantern.
I saw a early version of it. Not being a DC fan, I was impressed.
It's not
it's really good.
It's an alternate story.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, it's how they formed, right?
Yeah. No.
No, I thought it was.
You didn't buy Secret Invasion number one, did you?
No.
You didn't buy it yet earlier, have you?
Uh-uh.
That's it. I need to get out there. I don't know. Yeah, this is like totally off topic, but it, you know, has something to do with this podcast, kind of, because it's comics, so all the geeks out there are listening.
Right.
So, Secret Invasion number one, very very cool story.
Just
came out. If nobody's heard about it, which I'm sure you have,
I got to get it.
Basically, it's what if the Skrulls were formed as many of the superheroes throughout the Marvel universe, and they've actually been them this whole entire time.
Right. It's been very. It's like supposedly.
And the thing is, what I've been reading, they don't just. It's not just current Marvel stuff. They're going back all the way to like characters from back in like 1993 and stuff too. So
this is a what if though, or is it?
No, it's actual
really? Marvel canon. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, sorry, Jason. I was just thinking about that when you're talking about Appleseed. So.
Oh, that's okay, man. That's quite informative.
Yeah.
About the Justice League movie. They said they didn't mind if we ventured off into some movie talk every now and then.
So hopefully they won't mind if we venture off into some comic talk every now and then.
It all wraps up into the geek package.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that was my PS3 fondling for the week. Then on Xbox 360, played some more Mass Effect.
Nice.
I got past Nevaria, and I'm halfway through Pharos. I played through... Pharos like completely twice before, so I mean I'm pretty used to it, so it's no problem. And I'm kicking butt like crazy, because Pharos is usually the place I'd go to first.
Right, so you're not used to being so powered up.
Yeah, so I'm pretty powered up, man. And after I finish Pharos, I'm gonna try the expansion content, Bring the Sky Down. I'm gonna go and play that part of the game next.
Cool. So Mass Effect doesn't have the Oblivion problem where the enemies level up with you.
No.
So you basically can sit there and level up and just be a kick-ass gunner throughout the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the only problem is there's limited areas to level up, because it's not like some RPGs where you can keep going back to the same place and enemies respawn.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So you're like... If you want to do it that way, your best bet is to hit the side missions and then do the main quest.
I
did Novaria first, and then the side missions, and then Pharos, Vermeier, and on through the rest of the game. So I had nearly all the side missions completed before I even did the second story mission.
So is Vermeier, is that the last world?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's the last...
it's the last main world.
Right, it's the last main planet.
Yeah, there's something else you do after that.
But.
Sweet. But, that's what I've been playing this week. And I also, I sold a couple games. I had to get rid of Wild Arms XF, because it's a strategy game, right?
Right.
It takes place in Wild Arms universe. And I kind of liked it at first, until I realized that the game doesn't really reward you for being strategic. The stages got to the point where you had to be a certain class.
Really?
And you had to do things in a particular order in order to survive. And I did not like that. I mean...
Because then it becomes more of a puzzle game than a
strategy
game.
Then it becomes a puzzle, exactly. And it's like, you know, strategy games... The term strategy means that you can approach things differently.
Right.
You know. And it became more of a puzzle game wrapped in the strategy clothing. And I didn't like that, so I had to get rid of that. I got rid of Mystery Dungeon, Shirin the Wanderer.
I thought you were talking about Chocobo Mystery Dungeon.
No. No, this is the original Mystery Dungeon that just now came to the States. I got rid of that because, you know, it's a very sadistic game. Very sadistic.
The game actually hates you.
The game hates you. Well, it's a role-playing game, kind of played top-down, kind of Zelda-esque. When you die, you start back at level one. And not just that, but if you're further in the game, it starts you at the very beginning of the game. And all the items that you collected are now gone.
This game hates you.
Apparently.
And on top of that, whenever you're like on the world map and you're fighting enemies and stuff, every once in a while, this like this little like thief dude who's like really fast, he'll bump into you and take away like half your gold. And
now, can you save this game at all, or do you have to play it straight through?
You can save your progress. That's one good thing about it.
Right.
But the game, the table turns on the player, like without warning. Like you'll go down like a ladder to the next like stage, and you'll be automatically surrounded by like five enemies.
Wow!
And they would like kill you in like 3 seconds.
So basically, every time you kill something, you have to save.
Well, you have to be like in a town to save.
Oh, man.
And the town is like.
Do you have a limited number of saves by chance?
No.
I'm just curious. This game hates you enough as it is.
No, but items do go bad as well.
Nice.
Yeah, like your health items, they go bad and disappear.
I guess the mystery of the mystery dungeon is why they created this game.
The mystery of the mystery dungeon is why the fuck anybody would ever play it.
And oddly enough, EGM gave it really good reviews,
yeah,
like eights. They gave it all like
Play
eights.
Magazine gave it an
11
out of 10.
They gave it like Bs. That's it. They're not using eights anymore. Yeah. But yeah, I had to get rid of that, and the money I got from that, I put towards Viking. I bought Viking, and I really like it. It's not super great. It's not a AAA title, but it is really good.
Does it seem like it's going to be long? Does it seem like there's going to be a lot of gameplay there?
It feels very long. Yeah. I mean, as far as like how big everything is, because the first island you get on, you think, if I finish this, you're looking at about 3 or 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And then once you finish that, there's a whole other island that opens up, and that's only the second one. Then there's a third one.
Did you get to the second island?
Yeah, I'm on the second island.
The battle? There's more than one battle in there. The first battle you get to? Epic. took an hour. Well, I'm just saying it took an hour.
Yeah.
To get to the second battle took an hour. So it's pretty decent size.
Okay. Continue on.
Yeah,
I'm gonna break in on you.
The game, the way the game looks and behaves, very similar to Fable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like Fable, kind of behaves like Fable in terms of its combat and magic and stuff like that.
Hey. We don't really use magic.
Well,
the only thing that's like magical is you can upgrade your sword.
Yeah, you can make your sword like elemental powers like fire,
ice,
lightning, and ice.
So now, do you get different weapons over the course?
No,
of
you
the
stay
game?
With your longsword and an axe.
Gotcha.
That's it.
Yeah,
you can get throwing axes.
Yeah, throwing axes is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I see that you got an achievement.
Yeah, I looked at yours and I was like, I gotta get that. What, did you get the achievement?
I'm really early. I've played probably about 45 minutes of the game, so I'm
real
early.
What's the achievement for?
You kill 5 enemies with throwing axes.
I haven't even bought throwing axes yet, so
it's real simple. Real simple.
I can imagine it's easy, but I just haven't bought them yet.
And I don't know if it is like the camera is kind of wonky at times.
Yeah, camera is a little bit wonky. It's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible, but
they needed a recenter.
They have a recenter.
Where's it
at?
I
think you just click down on the right stick.
No, because I haven't been able to get it because I keep getting into modes where like I'm facing like towards the screen trying to attack and I can't. I would love to be able to just flip the camera around behind me. I guess if you can, I haven't figured it out yet.
I think you just right click it, but they need a lock on.
Yeah, they do need a lock.
Yeah, they do need a lock on because I found that the combat felt a little clanky.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit
you
button
get used
mashing.
To it after a while.
Yeah.
Well, that's all it is. It's just button mashing. A and X. You know, hold down X maybe for more powerful attacks, but that's all it is.
Yeah, I like using the X button for doing fatalities.
Yeah.
The fatalities are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Have you used the elemental powers at all that much?
Just once.
I haven't used them that much.
Yeah. I don't use them because, like, what's really cool is if you activate it while you're around your soldiers, it'll give them the power, too.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, because it has, like, a ring that it goes out, and it'll get everybody in that
little
ring.
Oh, is that what the ring's
for?
Yeah,
so when I went into the big, huge battle in Dark Water,
yeah.
And I go in there, and I'm in the gate with all my guys coming, and, like, literally, this battle is epic.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys at
screen
at once.
There is probably, like, 500 or 600 guys on the screen just going at each other.
No slowdown.
And they go straight into each other, and right as I'm going in through the door, I hold down and I hit my sword, and it just, all my guys around me, their swords light up with fire, and we just run in and just start
hacking them.
See, I'd never, I never really stayed with him. I didn't know that. That's pretty
cool. Oh, yeah.
See, I haven't made it to that point yet.
Dude, that's like, I'm like literally like 4 hours into the game, and this is what I just did. This is the end of the first island.
The battle's there. Sweet. The main battle's
there. Awesome.
Wait till, like I said, wait till the second one. It doubles that.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's pretty epic.
I can't wait to use my dragon more, too.
Yeah.
I have a dragon.
I hate the whole fact you got to use dragon runes for that.
Well, yeah, but you get them all the time. I got a bunch of them.
In that epic battle? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get a ton of them, so.
But,
damn it.
That's pretty
much
my... You
guys just made me buy that freaking game.
I told you, and I don't even got to buy it.
I was this close to the edge on whether I was just going to game fly it or buy it, and you guys just walked up behind me and gave me a swift kick in the ass.
It's $60, but it's arguable if it's worth it, but I think it is with gameplay.
I think gameplay-wise, it's worth it.
Yeah, well, like I said, most companies, like, you know, GameStop run their ads. Oh, they were starting them. No, they usually start them on Monday. Usually runs through Sunday, so if that half off thing still going on, you might want to get
that. I'll have to check it.
You might
if I like Vikings,
home. Yeah.
If I like Vikings, I'd.
It doesn't matter if you like Vikings.
No.
It has nothing.
It's
to
not
do
really
with
Viking. It's Asgard. It's mythical. It's gods. You gotta say that.
If you really want to pay attention to the story, you can. But most of the time, I skip the cutscenes.
Really?
I just play it just for the visceral action of it is really what I love about it, just the scale. Like I said, the only complaints I have is, yes, no lock-on, but I can understand that because when you're fighting 40 guys, what the hell are you going to lock on to?
Lock on, like...
One at a time, you know? Well, you just want to nail one, and it's not so bad that it doesn't have lock-on because if you just tilt the stick towards the next guy and you finish this guy off, you'll go right to the next guy.
Yeah, but a
once
lot of times...
Once you get used to that combat.
A lot of times, though, I find myself hitting... There's a guy to my left, and I click to the left, and even... My guy goes straight ahead, like to the right, and I'm whiffing at air. And then I get attacked from behind.
It's also not just a button masher because you have to block a lot. Because if you don't, you will get your ass whipped.
See, I didn't learn about the blocking until the second map.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got killed by some archers.
Yeah, the game is not easy in any respect.
No.
You should be blocking a lot. And it's good to go up there and get your upgrades for your health.
Learn new
moves. Learn new moves. Well, you know what? I don't agree with that because the moves don't really do...
You have to.
The stealth moves, maybe, but...
Yeah, you have to because there's one that breaks shields. As you progress, those wooden shields, those guys holding wooden shields, they go to metal shields. And then there's guys who are... I don't even know what the hell they are, but they got little spikes, and they're harder shit to kill. They're harder than... You've faced the champions yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're about as tough as them, and they're not the champions.
Champions are easy, though.
Mm.
Champions are easy.
Mm.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to do dodges.
So much
and blocks.
Geekiness going on right now.
But it's you got to learn new moves. It's key that you
most of the moves are just pointless, though. Like the stabbing people in the chest, it doesn't do any more damage than a regular hit.
After you beat it, I'll borrow it from you and see what I think of it. And I might buy it after I complete the other 10,000 games I haven't beaten yet.
I'm sorry, we're completely overrunning your fondling.
Thing is, that's the end of my fondling.
That's
so
the end of his Viking? Okay,
yeah.
Well, I guess I
what's
was rolling
future,
right into
what's
mine.
What's your future fondling?
My future fondling would be more Crisis Core, more Viking, more Mass Effect, and...
Rainbow Six.
And more Clam Chowder. And more Rainbow Six, the original Rainbow Six.
Oh.
And... GTA 4
yes.
at the end of the month.
Yes.
Man,
God, I can't
all,
wait. I can't
we're all
going to
be playing that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll roll right into mine. That's a lot of Viking talk that I just had.
Get rolling on.
Thanks, Fred Durst.
Rolling a little doggies. Little doggies.
I thought I'd heard the last of Fred Durst.
Yeah. see what the emo people bring?
What the hell?
He kind of looks like Fred Durst with the baseball
cap. Oh, I thought that was directed towards you.
Flip it around backwards.
Oh, my bad. See,
I did it all
that
for
was...
the nookie.
The nookie?
What?
The nookie.
What?
The nookie.
I'm sorry to hear you.
Take that cookie.
And shove it up your what?
Yeah.
Limp biscuits.
I won't go any more about Viking unless you want me to.
No, it's
are you
okay.
going to buy it now?
Yeah, I'm going to buy
it.
It's
worth so I can future fondle it next week.
It's so funny about this game is that so many people didn't give it so much shit. And I go on and I read people's impressions of it, and they just... I don't understand it.
What are they saying?
I mean, like, it's getting reviews. Some places getting terrible reviews. I go on the message boards and read it, and people are like, this is boring, it's repetitive. And granted, there are some things that I hate, like the fact that traveling between areas sucks until you get the lay
portals.
Stones open. Yeah. And then even once you get those open, still, sometimes it's a good distance to walk to one. So, I mean, that's frustrating. The no lock-on thing, I got used to it after a while. When you die, you're punished because you lose everything you had. Like if you had items or axes.
You don't lose your items. If you use them, you don't get them back. Like, if you have three axes, three throwing axes, and you use them in the battle and then you die.
Well, you lose your power.
You lose your elemental
bar.
Red. Yeah, your red
which
bar.
Which sucks.
Yeah, and you don't get anything else back. Like, you do lose your
So is it like Tenchu where you stock up before you go out? And then
you don't have to.
No, it's like it's like a giant open world.
Yeah,
but no. But I mean, because he said you don't get them back.
No, you don't.
So like, if you stock up on three throwing axes,
and you only have ten and you only use three, you keep the seven.
Oh, okay.
You don't lose
them. I gotcha. I thought you meant you got the three that you threw back.
No. You don't get them. The ones you throw. You don't get back.
Gotcha.
No, but and there you will die a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's like, it reminds me of another game I was playing, Dark Sector. You will die a lot. It's a challenging game, but it. There was never a time when I got mad when I died because I didn't have to go back and do a bunch of stuff
right.
over again.
Well, see, is it save anywhere or is it?
It saves save constantly. It. Yeah. Like, every time you do something, it saves.
When
and if you quit, you save.
But the bad thing about saving, you don't. When you replay the game, you don't start off where you save. You start up back at the beginning.
But you start at a portal. So you can just.
It's
go,
the main portal, though.
Yeah.
So if you're like miles away from your home, your base, you start back there.
Gotcha.
But you have portals so you can.
You can transfer pretty close to just about anywhere you want to go. Most of the portals are close to where the missions are, so you don't really have much of an issue. But just some of the stuff in that game, it's just epic.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff in that game. And it's pretty. Eh, I mean, it's not gorgeous.
Yeah, no.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
The
water.
Frame rate. Here we go with the water. Whatever. It's funny how he walks like a log in the water when it gets deep up over his waist. He's just like...
And in this instance, I'm glad he can't swim because how he's armored. How would you swim? So
well, he looks like he got stung by about 40 bees. He swelled up. But also played Dark Sector a little bit more. I really, really love that game. And it's the further I get into it, the more challenging it gets. And it's just fun. I mean, there's so much to love about Dark Sector.
Any playing online at all?
No, there's nobody playing.
No one's playing it?
No, nobody's playing. I played a couple matches when there were people playing, but now there's nobody playing.
What was your first impression? Or whatever?
It's just a waste.
Really?
There's two modes. There's only two modes.
Oh, wow.
There's Infection and Epidemic, and they're both Infection's everybody's trying to kill one guy, and Epidemic is there's two team captains on each side, and you got to kill the captain. So, I mean, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I just don't like the multiplayer, but what there is in the single player, it's well worth playing through. Also, against better judgment, picked up Sega Superstars Tennis during the Sega sale. And you know what? I like it. I don't care what anybody says. For the $30 that I paid for it, I like it. It's if you're a Sega fan, it's like Smash Brothers Tennis. I mean, there's so much fan service in the game. Like, all the courts are themed. So, like, when you're in the Jet Set Radio court, they have the cops running around. And you do, like, the little missions where you grab spray paint cans, and you have to – each spray paint can is a different color. So then you hit the ball over and graffiti tag something on the other side. Like, the monkey ball levels, you're knocking monkeys through this, like, giant gate. Yeah, it sounds really boring to you. But it's just like the mini games in Virtua Tennis.
Right.
Same kind of concept, except you actually play in these different levels. Like, there's a House of the Dead. I think it's called a Kyrian's Mansion level. There's a Golden Axe level. there's a Space Channel 5 level with Ooh La La. This is just... I was looking for Michael Jackson on the side, but he wasn't there. I really wish he had. But there's so much fan service. Like, it's like Smash Brothers. Like, you play a couple levels, you unlock a new soundtrack. You unlock a new track of music. You unlock new characters. There's two characters from each of the Sega games in there. Like, two Monkey Ball characters, two Sonic characters. Actually, there's like five Sonic characters.
Is there Golden Axe characters that you can play tennis with?
Alex Kidd's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
What about Sword of Vermillion?
No,
what
I don't think
Fantasy
there was.
Fantasy Star?
Yeah, I think there's Fantasy Star stuff in. I haven't played the Sega Superstar mode. It's huge. I literally there's like 20 some odd missions in each Superstar mode, and each Superstar mode is themed.
Alex Kidd.
Like, I didn't even know he was in it. But if you look through like the list of like the percentage, it keeps track just like Virtua Tennis, and you're scrolling down to see all the stuff you got. It's like you've won this many times with Knights, you've won this many times with II, and I looked on there. It was like Alex Kidd. I'm like, really? Alex Kidd's in this game? And then Gum from Jet Set Radio's in there. She's the second character for the other guy. I don't remember his name. Isn't it
I just want to be able to. I want to be able to play tennis with the guy from Altered Beast that goes, "Rise from your grave."
That'd be awesome. I have to let you know how the Golden Axe level is. I'm looking forward to playing that. But for $30, I like it. If I had paid $50 or $60, I'd have been mad. I would have, but for $30, I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and it's fun. Also played Condemned 2, like I said, online, and outside of the SCU mode, where it was like the one souped-up SCU guy versus all the infected people, where you kept shooting, like, the SCU guys got the machine gun, you shoot them in their head, and their head explodes. That was fun. Like, literally, I could do that for hours. That was fun. But the deathmatch mode sucks. The team deathmatch mode sucks. The crime scene one is terrible. Because you're carrying around boxes with severed heads in them. And the objective is to go scan the box while the infected people are carrying it around. And you see them, like, on the map, running around. They're carrying this big-ass cooler with decapitated head in
it. Why do you got to scan? I don't understand why you got to scan a
I don't know why you
got to
scan two decapitated heads.
Well, because you have to make sure it comes out of inventory.
You know.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like fun for the entire family.
Oh fun for it's... all. Also played a lot, actually quite a bit of Rock Band this week. I am one song away from finishing Guitar Expert. And that song is Green Grass and High Tides.
Nice.
And my God, that second solo continues to whoop my ass. I get 80% through that song every time and fail at 80% every time. That's the only song I can't beat. I beat Molly Hatchet. I beat the Aerosmith song, which was easy. I mean, everything else in that tier was manageable. That second solo, freaking Green Grass and High Tides, drives me insane. I still haven't downloaded the Boston pack because I have no money, so I can't buy any Microsoft points right now, so I want to get that. And the last thing I played is I did get on my PS3, and I downloaded the new maps for Unreal, and I got online with the Boogeyman last night.
Yep.
And we tried to call everybody to make a big match, but you were gone, and you didn't answer his phone.
Well, I don't have it.
You didn't answer your phone anyway. But
I was
Hitman. Should have been playing Unreal. But we were playing Unreal. It was we were playing 16-player matches on the new maps. Man, I forget how good that game is.
I love the crazy sporadic feel. That's old school Quake Unreal style. I don't care much for some of the maps.
Some of the maps are really boring. And the thing I noticed when we were playing it last night is the new maps and the old maps all have that same gothic architecture feel to them when you're running around, except for the ones in space.
Right.
Like when you're doing the outdoor ones, how many times did I see that giant statue, like in the level? I'm like, are we playing the same? No, it's just that giant statue's everywhere. It must be the god of Unreal or something.
What's up with the freaking embryo that you're swimming through on that space?
Oh,
level?
I don't know, but you know that's really kind of cool because like you get in that like.
Well, it's cool when you first do it, but then you're like, oh shit, I gotta get to the other. Man, I don't want to go through
this. Swim through this
slow ass embryo.
Did you see anybody in there while you were in there?
Yeah.
To watch them do their little. It's so funny to watch them just swim through the thing, but. I just love how fast that game is.
Fuck the bio-rifle.
The bio-rifles always suck. Green glob, snot-shooting piece of shit. Yeah, I don't like that gun. And why is there a sniper rifle in Unreal?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
There has been a sniper rifle in that game since the beginning of time.
I think I grabbed the sniper rifle and found one place where I was safe for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it's impossible to hit anybody because they're running the fuck around all so fast.
What kills me is, I think with the sniper rifle, if you hit somebody, it should be an instant kill.
Right.
Every time?
No.
No, it's not.
Right.
Not unless you headshot them.
Right.
So it's
which is how rare?
A headshot in Unreal Tournament? Can you slow yourself down enough to get a headshot? My God.
Stick with the rail gun.
Very, very fun. I hope to see some more maps and maybe some.
We could download maps. The custom maps. We need to do that.
Are they free?
Everything's free.
Everything's free?
Every mod is free.
Thing.
Everything is free on Unreal.
Hmm.
There's like endless gameplay there.
Alice One sent us the mod.
Yeah, I have them downloaded. I haven't installed them yet. Yeah. I need to transfer them. I have them downloaded. I need to put them on a USB because what sucks is you got to install them one at a time.
Right.
So you have to transfer one, go back, transfer the other. So it's a back and forth process.
Can you install them via card rather than USB?
Yeah, you should be able to do it on like a
SD card.
SD card should be fine. I'm gonna use a USB thumb drive. So that's what I had.
Yeah, I'm sure I got a flash drive lying around somewhere. We got so many of them.
What did you notice? What else he sent?
Like dog tags.
Besides,
and stuff.
He sent Halo, and he sent Marcus Phoenix. He sent the Locust and Spawn.
Yeah.
He sent Spawn.
No, Now, are these just character maps?
Yeah, they're character models.
Character models.
Yeah. But not level models.
No. We can get levels. I mean, you can go and search for levels. Levels are free everywhere. I mean, people have modded out all these levels. So I want to, now that I've gotten back into it, I want to go and do some more of that. Because, and the one thing we have to talk about is the headache with the voice chat.
Yeah, well...
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You're telling me that a game on the PlayStation Network had problems with voice chat?
Yeah.
Come on now, don't lie.
Now, here's the thing. We, you know, barring the... And this was totally user error as far as me taking forever to hook up my freaking Bluetooth headset.
Yeah.
Well, because I lost my instructions. But
so I had to, like, walk him through on the phone.
Ken read me off of his instructions on how to hook up my Bluetooth. But once I was finally up online, I was all excited, got my mic set up, ready to go. I get on there, and the first match, I'm like, hello? Hello?
Yeah. We're, like, yelling at each other, like, can you hear me?
So I call him on my phone, and I'm like, I said, are you talking? I can't hear anything. And so I'm wondering if my headset's still screwed up. So we go look and make sure everything is enabled and do the configuration.
No, we went to the chat room.
Yeah.
Which, if you've been in the PlayStation 3 voice chat, it is fucking hilarious. It's like a giant square white room. It looks like an insane asylum. And your avatar is up on the screen, and every time you talk, it pulsates. So his big baseball guy was on my screen doing this. Like,
and his name from Uncharted is like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Oh, God. But anyway, so we went to the chat room. Like, okay, our headsets are both working fine. We're talking to each other through our PlayStation Network. So let's log back in. We make sure that everything's enabled and everything. Start talking. Nothing. And all of a sudden, Ken finally turns. I finally hear his voice through, and he goes, welcome to 2001. You have to hold the right on the analog stick in order to talk.
Or the D-pad.
You got to hold right on the D-pad to talk.
So it's like Halo then.
But no, you can't just press it.
You can't just press it. You got to hold it down.
You have to hold it the whole time you're talking.
The whole time you're talking, and a little microphone thing will come up in the left side, and you talk.
So basically you have to stand perfectly still in Unreal if you want to talk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So basically you only talk when you die. Like, right. You get killed, then you can go, oh, no.
You're too busy running with your left hand to stop and put your thumb down to go, hey, hi, well, see, you.
It's so funny. I was, like, literally playing with my thumb on the analog stick and then, like, tapping the D-pad when I wanted to talk. It was terrible. I'm like, why? Why do you have to press a button to talk? Why does it have to be the D-pad button? Why couldn't it be a friggin' trigger? I want to see if I can change that. Because if I could change it to the left bumper,
right.
I'll do that. Because that just brings up that wheel. And I don't need
that. I looked
that.
At controller configuration. I can see a dick, though.
So. See if I can switch it to that left trigger.
But you know what?
Bumper.
Regardless. It's free.
Hey, everything about Unreal is free.
Yeah.
Everything. The maps, the mods, everything. So it's still great, and it was still a blast. It's one of the few FPSs online that has bots. Good bots.
Yeah.
Those
bots were good.
Those bots were good.
Perfect Dark got bots?
I still love
Perfect Dark. Now, did you put that on default setting, or was that...
That was default.
Wow.
Some of those guys are really good. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I'm sitting there... if I didn't have a better rifle than my, or didn't have a better gun than my pistol, I'm getting owned by the first time I see somebody in that game.
Yeah, they're not a joke, man. We bump them up to Unreal. Like, if we'd have had more human players...
Swearing at my television when I grab a bio-rifle, like, no, this weapon's useless.
Yeah, if we would have had more guys in it, I would have bumped up the difficulty on the boss, but since it was just you and me, I left it at default. But if we bump it up, like, if... When we used to play a championship, we would bump them up to Unreal.
Unreal.
Because if there was four or five of us playing, we'd bump them up to Unreal. Now that was a game.
You
want to
talk about freaking hard.
You want to talk about a game, man. Whew. That was a good game.
Even the bots, though. Can you get more than 50 kills, or is that the highest they go?
No, that was the default.
Really?
Yeah, that's default. I can set it higher.
Because, as I said, because the matchups were kind of quick, so.
50 kills, it's amazing how fast it goes.
Even the bots in single player in Unreal 3 are really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, so we need
once you get further, they're kind of easy at first.
We need to get some more of that and some more Warhawk going because
absolutely.
That was some good times.
Hey, whenever you guys are going.
Do you have Warhawk?
Hey.
No. Fucker.
Got rid of that a long time ago.
You suck. Well, that wraps up my final.
We never
that was,
played it.
That's
so,
true.
We never did because nobody ever had the time.
Yeah.
And nobody ever had it.
I had
it. Well, me and Ken had it at the same time. The only time we ever played together was at my house. Then we finally, he liked it, so he goes out and buys it, and then we never played it.
Right.
So
I have got online and played quite a few times though, and I love it. So and the new update's up, so
yep.
Download that.
I could buy it for $29.99. It's on sale on the PlayStation Store.
If you want to download it, yeah. But that wraps up the epic fondling session.
We're going to try to get some serious foreplay on that one.
Get through the news as fast as we can, which shouldn't be too hard. So, Mr. Wombat, you want to roll? You want to Rick roll?
And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents News Quiggies, brought to you by
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Get out of here, Rick Astley. I'll have none of your Rick roll today. Here's zero tolerance.
Go rue the day you crossed me, Astley.
All right. Hopefully we can blast through this news because most of it is release dates announced. So we got a big bunch of that. Mercs 2 release date. Mercenaries 2 release date August 31st. Did you watch the new trailer?
It's my birthday.
Did you watch the new trailer?
I did not.
Oh, you need to go. You need to go watch this new trailer. It's called the date announcement trailer, I guess.
Send me that.
The what trailer?
New page.
Oh.
I got to do a news thing for work, so.
All right. The new Mercs 2 is release trailer was hilarious because it focuses in on the guy with the mohawk. I don't know what his name is. But he's like running from the...
Matthias, isn't it?
Yeah, Matthias? But he's like running away from this Mexican terrorist and he shoots him in the ass. And the whole trailer is about how he's like, no, it's personal because he shot him in the ass. It's hilarious. It really is. Sonic Unleashed, as we told last week, was unofficially announced, is now officially announced with screenshots and a video. And you know what? Looks good.
It does look good. I saw the video.
It looks like Sonic Adventure. I mean, it looks good.
We'll see.
I like how there's
side-scrolling. Dave Halverson will give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he will.
There's side-scrolling.
Yeah, there's side-scrolling
nice.
Levels.
It goes from side-scrolling to like a third person.
Cool.
So is this the MMO or is this something else?
No, this is
a new Sonic game.
Yeah, you're thinking of the BioWare game.
Yeah, you're thinking of the BioWare RPG.
Which is the DS one.
That's on DS.
Yeah, it's on DS.
It's on DS. We'll say it again.
It's on DS. Next up, another release date announced. The game you didn't think was coming out. It's coming out sooner than you think it is. Yeah. Alone in the Dark.
I never really thought that was going to hit in October.
June 24th.
What? Wow.
Hello, welcome.
Smack you in the face.
I'm smacking you in the face. Like, apparently Atari is going to release it on June 24th. So.
But how good is it going to
be? We'll see. Star Wars Force Unleashed release date confirmed. September 16th.
Official.
Boo.
Official. September 16th.
September.
Confirmed.
Do you remember?
Yes.
The 16th.
For any of you that were fans of Stormfront Studios.
Yes.
Crickets?
Yep.
Crickets?
I remember.
They made, what was all the games they made? They made that,
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
One of the Lord of the Rings hack and slash. Then they made that D&D one. I can't remember the name of it. It had the red cover. It was on Xbox.
Oh,
PS2.
Yeah. Demon Siege.
Demon Siege. Yeah. They did those. They have closed. They're
That's
gone.
A shame.
Yeah. So there's a couple other games that were listed, but I couldn't remember what they were. But they are now closed. Saints Row 2 official release date. August 26th.
Good. That'll give a little break between
GTA
and that. Yeah, I'm glad they didn't decide to release it in April or May.
Did you see the Gary Busey trailers on that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Gary Busey says.
Oh, it's terrible. New features for NCAA 2009. A new and improved recruiting system. New post-game presentation and play-by-play.
This is NCAA football 2009,
yes.
I should mention.
College foosball. Offline cooperative play with up to 4 players. The ability to return missed field goals, which why that was never in there.
Yeah.
Before, I don't know. Bluffed play art to prevent people from looking at your play goals when they're sitting next to you, which that's been in Madden
for years.
So, also they're going to focus a lot more on like the immersion in the different stadiums and stuff like that. And there's also a mascot mode. Which allows the user to do custom celebrations following a touchdown.
Yeah,
cool. So,
but it looks like they are improving the game quite a bit this year. And as we've all mentioned before, NCAA plays so well.
Yeah,
it plays so well. So these are just icing on the cake.
All right. Well, thing and then what I've heard too is that they actually haven't announced it yet, but there will finally be preliminary. Like super good, awesome commentators in the next Madden as well.
Oh, not the radio guy again?
Yeah, so. Ugh. Well, I'm waiting for them to announce who it's actually going to be, but with the ESPN license, it would be a shame if it's not Chris Berman. But
okay, now, this next thing I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about this, and I can't help but just chuckle about this. And I'm sorry, I know I give this game a lot of shit, But Gran Turismo 5 Prologue will feature damage as downloadable content.
It's free, though.
It's free. Granted, it's free.
So, I mean, I don't, the thing is, I've been reading that, like, since you threw your little page up there. So is this for the people, they get a choice to download this if they don't want damage in their game or something? People who are like, I don't want damage, I want to bounce off the walls and still look perfect.
I don't know what the purpose of making it DLC is.
I don't know what the purpose in having DLC for what is essentially a glorified demo is. Look, no, I mean, hey, we caught flack about it last week, and that's fine, but let's be honest here. As awesome as Gran Turismo is as a series, Prologue is a demonstration of what the full version of GT or GT5 will be.
Right,
okay, we can argue all day long about, you know, it's got this many cars, it's got this many tracks, it's got, yeah, you know, online play and all that.
And according to IGN, it's deeper than most racing games out there as a demo.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's still a demo.
So?
No, I mean,
when it's not coming out to 2009, who cares? I want it now.
But you're going to pay $40 for a stripped-down version of it now and then $60 again for it next year.
So basically you're paying $100 for Gran Turismo 5.
And this is, and you know, I don't understand.
Yeah, but it's
people
like
that,
a year difference.
People that complain
still
about
be, everything in Prologue is still going to be in Gran Turismo.
That's right,
because
that's right. I don't play. I don't buy. I've never bought a preliminary game that didn't have as much features in it that was just as deep as any other game on the market, and then buy its sequel a year later. Never done that before.
But it's not a sequel.
I know it's not a sequel, but I'm saying it's the year and the time of frame that it's going to be. We're going to argue
it's
about
not
this.
A sequel, though.
This
Gran it's
Turismo,
the same freaking
this
game.
Gran Turismo argument never ends.
The graphics will not be better. The car selection will be larger. The track selection will be larger.
But they'll still
contain everything.
The graphics
will not be better.
Demo.
It'll be the same game, just with more content.
Basically,
and you're going to pay $60 for it
like
again next year.
Basically like the Gran Turismo's version of Madden.
Look, I'm a huge Gran Turismo fan, a huge fan, but I have a severe problem with being charged $40 for a prologue to a game that they're going to charge me $60 for next year, and it has nothing to do with content, nothing to do with content, except for the fact that it's not the full game, and it's like, don't waste your time giving me a $40 stripped down version with downloadable content for damage, and then charge me $60 for the full version later.
Well, I know Polyphony too much. Is it Polyphony?
Polyphony,
yes.
Know?
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath for a release next year, so I'm going to get Gran Turismo action in while I got the chance.
Well, but see, here's my other thing is if Prologue, which it looks to be so far, is incredibly successful, this opens the door for other developers to do the same thing with their games and give you a stripped down version of it for $40. Call it Prologue, call it God of War Prologue, and give you the first three levels, charge you $40 for it, and then charge you $60
There's
for the full version later on.
But how many people are actually going to buy into that
shit? But you're acting like this game.
Do you not see how much this is selling in Japan?
No, right.
Pre-orders for this game
but
are
see,
through the roof.
The way you're...
Because they're buying this $40 version?
But the way you're defending it, your side of this, say it, you're, and you keep... referring, you said this the last couple of weeks now, is you're referring to this as if it was God of War with the first three levels.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's not that shallow.
Yes, it is.
It's got 100 hours of freaking gameplay. Where is that? Where is that not worth
$40? But it's not the same as the first three levels God of War content-wise.
Right.
It's the same in concept as the first three levels God of War because it's not the full version of the game.
This is not me talking, so I don't want to hear anybody giving me shit
Look,
on the forums.
Hey,
I
know,
agree
I,
with you.
I love my PS3. I love Gran Turismo.
I'll stand on this side with Jason because I think me and him are the only two that are actually buying Prologue when it comes out.
I'm looking forward to Prologue.
Yeah.
I love my PS3. I love Gran Turismo, but I am so completely opposed to the idea of being charged $40 for Prologue when you're going to charge me another $60 for Gran Turismo 5 when it comes out.
But when? That's
what
it
doesn't matter when.
It does matter when.
No,
I'm going to keep arguing.
You know what then?
Out,
if it's going to matter when, then call this Gran Turismo 5, give me more tracks, give me more cars, and then release Gran Turismo 6 in 2009.
So if they did that, you would buy it?
If it had.
See, that's my whole argument if here. You're doing it because of a name.
No. That's not it at all. You're not listening to me. If you
I am listening to you.
If you're gonna say, well, they're not releasing it till 2009. That's fine. Give me Gran Turismo 5 now with a bunch of cars, the way it looks now, more tracks, more cars, everything. Then take that time for that year and make it look better. Add new stuff.
How do you know?
And call it Gran Turismo
6. Who said it won't look better?
The fact that it's Gran Turismo 5 still. If they were going to make it look better, they'd call it Gran Turismo 6 when it comes out next time.
That doesn't mean that. Demos have always increased. How many times have you played a demo, an early demo?
You're talking about a very slight increase. I'm talking about if you're going to make me pay $40 for it now and $60 for it next year, it's going to have to
be a
much better
increase.
No, I didn't play Time Shift.
You played Time Shift.
I didn't give
the
a fuck about
one?
Time
yeah.
Shift.
The original one was terrible.
I know, but didn't it change?
It changed, but you know what? The new game was terrible too.
And they didn't charge you for it.
But I'm not saying it was, but
I'm saying
the fact a year is a long time.
So you're coming at it from the standpoint of that this is, you know, kind of like – Not in the same sense, but kind of like a beta for Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah.
Then why am I paying $40 to get into it?
Mm.
that's my point.
I guess it's because it's so expensive is why.
Well, there's a lot of shit in it, though.
Get this. I was on themagicbox.com. It's a
well, I haven't heard of Magic Box.
Yeah, that's an old. It's like very Japanese.
Yeah,
century.
I remember the Magic
Box. Japanese.
I didn't think they still existed.
Get this. They're planning on making a sequel to Prologue.
Wow.
See? You see?
Wombat's head just exploded.
Shake your finger on me all you want. All I'm saying is, you know, it's different. A month ago, I was on your side with this whole, I don't want Gran Turismo 5 Prologue if Gran Turismo's, you know, 5 actual version that's on its way because I'm playing $40 and paying $60 later. But we're talking about over a year between the time it comes out and the time the Prologue comes out. There's a lot they can actually do to the game
you're
itself
absolutely,
as well.
You're absolutely right, but here's my other thing about that. Okay? If they're releasing Gran Turismo so far down the line, Gran Turismo 5 so far down the line, and they're planning on changing so much stuff, which they may well be doing, then why, other than just for the sheer purpose of nickel and diming your customers, are you releasing Prologue this early and charging $40 for it?
Because people have been waiting, what, 5 years?
A decade.
Exactly. So it's another way to suck money out of the consumer.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, if you want to...
Well, I mean, that's the whole name of the game anyway.
No,
well,
you're right.
let's move on the news. Let's
we'll
wrap this
on.
Up, and we'll segue right into Nickel and
Diamond. We're not gonna come to yeah. Nickhead on this.
I'm looking forward to Prologue, because, dude, did you see those videos? Damn, that's the best looking racing game I've ever freaking
yeah,
seen
look,
in
it
my
does
life.
Look really,
and
that, really
that's
good.
Where we'll leave it, and we'll move on to Nickel and Diamond,
so it's,
the customer.
It's like a 2-2 tag team match. Next week I'll tag in Gambrel versus Zero Tolerance.
Oh, that'll
in
get
a
heated.
Match.
That'll get heated. But
get vicious
on.
In here.
Nickel and Diamond customers, the Battlefield Bad Company.
Oh
weapons.
God, this is something we can all agree on.
I think we can definitely agree on the fact that charging per weapon is ridiculous. I
didn't hear about this. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Battlefield Bad Company. You will be able to download DLC weapons individually. Like a microtransaction per weapon. Now the catch is, EA is claiming that, then this is total PR spin, all the weapons that you buy will not give you a competitive advantage.
Right.
So the same question poses, what the fuck do you want to buy them for then?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of buying them if they don't give you a competitive advantage?
Just the concept of buying extra weapons for a first-person shooter is amazing.
You'd
to
be
me.
Buying health packs soon.
Yeah,
you
no
watch.
Doubt.
Oh, I'm getting ready to die. Microtransaction
they already,
guy.
They already tried
up.
To. They already Double tried to charge for
show.
Cheat codes.
You can have roster updates, but you gotta buy
you gotta
each
buy
individual
each
player
one.
Separately.
Right.
You want Fukudome in your game? You gotta
buy
him only for 80
Fukudome.
Points. Greatest name ever.
Yeah, it is.
it's the greatest name that it's actually. You're not allowed to use it in message boards because it looks so much like Fukudome.
It also looks like
fuck you, do
fuck
me.
Fuck you, do me.
Fuck you, do me. All right, moving on. Tom Clancy, a new game has been announced.
Yes.
A new Tom Clancy game called Hawks.
It looks awesome.
It's
it
a
does.
Flying game. But you know what? I don't like flying games.
Well, that's because you're weird.
That's probably. But it looks, it does look good. Visually, it looks good, and it is Tom Clancy, so you can probably expect quality.
There's a difference, though. I think we'll also, it won't be as Ace Combat simulated Snorefest.
If you like flying games, though, Ace Combat's the bomb.
I don't want to fly. I want to shoot things, and you don't shoot a whole lot. It doesn't seem like an Ace Combat.
Oh, you do. I mean, you the do. Missions just, get pretty crazy.
I want more action. You know what I miss?
What? Afterburner?
Jungle Strike.
Jungle Strike.
The Strike
series.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They did. EA, if you're listening, which you know, I can just send you an email if I wanted to, but if you're listening, make me another Strike game.
Third,
that would sell like crazy.
No doubt.
You know, you can even say, you know what? We got the idea from Ubisoft, and we'll just roll in their thunder here.
3/4 perspective, top-down shooter.
Oh.
If nothing else, put some of the Strike games up on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah. Or, I mean, hell, they can even make a Strike game using the CNC engine if they're testing wanted to, and that would just be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways.
I love on a 3DO network, because that's where I started.
Yeah, I don't think the 3DO network's up and running anymore.
It will be soon. All right, next up, Bourne Conspiracy, coming in June.
Oh, you skipped it.
I did. I'm going to go. Don't point out my mistakes. Bourne Conspiracy labeled for June, and you know what? I'm pretty excited.
Yeah,
about
I am
this
too.
Game.
It looks
it
good.
Looks good.
Yeah,
I think it looks. Don't shake your head. Go buy Prologue and shut up.
Hey, you know what? You know what Prologue has that Bourne Conspiracy, or you know what Bourne Conspiracy has that Prologue doesn't?
A whole game in the box.
What does it have?
Matt.
Well, Matt. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have Matt Damon.
Which is another point.
Yeah.
You're making Jason Bourne without Matt Damon, who is, well, Jason Bourne.
Right.
It's like making a Fletch game without Chevy Chase.
It's like making a Fletch movie without Chevy Chase.
It's like
oh, wait a minute,
Fletch
they're doing
game
that.
It's ridiculous. What? All right. Next up, for all you out there that wanted your PS3 controllers to rumble, the DualShock 3 has shipped, and it is 2005, in case you were checking your watch, because that's last generation technology. Anyway.
With six axes, though.
six axis
and rumble.
Actually, if I put it on the floor and let it rumble, it does my six axis motion for me.
Nice.
Motion control, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
It also it's shipping in silver and black apparently. So for
I only
people.
Saw the black.
Yeah.
I mean, I want one for Metal Gear, obviously.
Metal Gear.
$55, and my six axis is only worth $10 in trade. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting a little screwed now. Sony should give me one for buying a launch PS3.
Yeah, they really should. There
Sony
really should be some sort
give
of voucher.
Me an option to send it off and replace it.
And replace it, because
yeah.
I'm sure they could take my old one and just you
throw
know,
a rumble in there.
It.
Yeah.
There, and they just open it up and put the freaking DualShock in it.
Yeah.
Metal Gear.
They should at least send you like some sort of coupon for you know a percentage
coupon.
Off the
coupon.
DualShock 3.
Because the thing is, I own two controllers.
Yeah.
I have no urgency to go out for $55 and buy another controller.
Right.
Now,
sucks.
If I only had one controller,
yeah,
and there's a lot of people who come over and they want to play baseball, then I would get a DualShock and go, you're rumble free. But no, unless Metal Gear deems it that necessary that I gotta have it, like you were talking about with the whole Dark Sector thing,
yeah.
If it comes with the feature that it's almost unplayable without DualShock, then I'll bow down to the masses of Sony Computer Entertainment.
I think Metal Gear is going to be the game that causes me to buy one just because of everything it does do with the DualShock.
But right now, I don't miss it that much. As much as it'd be cool, like when I'm capturing freaking folk and folklore to feel it vibrate when I suck the souls out of the freaking folk, that would be awesome. But no.
All right. Next up, as we mentioned earlier, the Portal song, Still Alive, from GLaDOS, comes to Rock Band for free. So,
for free.
Download it.
Finally.
Download it.
Finally.
Finally, some free Rock Band content. But you know what? Rock Band has just, and I realized this the other day, totally surpassed Guitar Hero in my heart. I can't help it.
Has it?
It just, the amount of songs you can download now, and the fact that Expert is not impossible, like Guitar Hero. I'm sorry. Guitar Hero's Expert's impossible.
I agree.
My God. Except for those crazy, like, robot people that their fingers move faster than Superman.
I beat Expert on the first Guitar Hero.
You know what? I can beat it on the first one and the second one. The third one, never going to happen.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Never going to give you up. Anyway.
Just got Rickrolled again.
I was actually going through and deleting a bunch of stuff off my hard drive to try to free up some hard drive space, and I came across Rock Band. I have like 764 megs worth of stuff on there, and I'm like, no. I'm not deleting that just
yet.
I
don't blame you.
I mean, I may. I mean, they sell the game separately.
There's no reason for you not to delete it, though, because you can re-download it for free.
Yeah, I don't want to spend that kind of time either.
But with the music store now, it's cake.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So I'm half tempted to go out and just buy a game only and play with my Guitar Hero controller and call it a day.
All right, next up. This one sucks. The PlayStation Network was hacked on the PC side. And apparently some hackers got hold of account information.
Uh-oh.
Luckily, not credit cards, because it only shows your last four digits of your
right.
credit card. So thankfully, they didn't get that. But now, this also questions the integrity of the PlayStation Store online, because that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary, the fact that somebody could hack that and get in there.
What's Sony's response? What are they going to do?
They fixed it. They said that nobody's account information was stolen as far as their credit card numbers.
They sent you an email with Rick Roll on it.
All right. Next up, and this would not be an N4G podcast without Two Worlds talk. New downloadable content has hit Xbox Live this week for Two Worlds for the Xbox 360.
Yes.
We're ramping up for that PS3 release.
That means,
you know what that
sequel.
Means? That just means that you got another 6 months worth of Two Worlds talk.
Word is the downloadable content is a stable frame rate and a controllable horse.
No.
And what's sad is that Blue Dragon, and I had to say it because it wouldn't be a podcast without Blue Dragon in it, but Blue Dragon's outsold Two Worlds yet. No love. I got like two.
Because everybody knows that Two Worlds is better.
Oh.
What is this? The argument of everybody calls these bad games?
Yeah.
Blue Dragon and Two Worlds get no love from anybody. You can argue which one's
except
better.
Except us, by God.
Hell, I didn't even get freaking themes or wallpaper for Blue Dragon. I had to make my own.
We got gamer pictures for Two Worlds.
Yep.
Crotch chop.
Two people. Crotch chop. Two people downloaded them.
Next up, Call of Duty 4 map pack has finally landed on Xbox Live, and it is exclusive to Xbox Live for a while.
Yeah.
It'll come to PlayStation Network for a little while, but there's four new maps for 800 points, which is $10. So, and from what I hear, the maps are phenomenal, especially Creek, which takes place all outdoors, and there's like caves and a ravine and stuff, and I've heard that map's awesome. And then, of course, Chinatown. So, but yeah, if you're a big COD fan, it's time to get these maps.
And who isn't a big COD
800
fan?
800 points. I need right. points.
I was going to go through them, but I will just say the GTA 4 achievements were revealed. There's 50 of them for 1,000 points. And they
some
look
of them
like
are pretty cool.
Some of them are going to take you a long time, including a lot of 100%ing.
Ooh.
So.
There's some cool... the one thing I do like about the GTA achievements is that there's some cool little nods to other games in there. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like when they do that.
So. And then the last little chunk is that the PlayStation Store, the new update, is going live on April 17th, so there will be no updates for the store for 2 weeks.
It looks pretty slick.
It does look
slick.
Yeah,
it does.
It's finally, like, Flash-based or whatever, like, the marketplace is, so it looks smooth.
Yeah.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
I can't wait till it goes up, because then now maybe I can find things that I want.
See,
you
this
know?
Thing is, if you're listening, Sony, ditch home. Just do things like this and upgrade the store and
right.
and continue downloadable content and improving
like
your
Xbox
online
Live.
Service. And you don't need home. Damn it.
Are you too good for your home? All right, now we go to the questions, and we're going to clean up the Ask a Question thread, which I missed an entire page.
Yeah,
last
you
time.
Missed an entire page.
And I totally apologize for that. But first question comes from Retired Ninja.
Which I like. That's a good name.
Yeah, and it's actually spelled Ninja.
Ninja.
N-E-E-N-J-A.
Ninja.
It says, hello there, gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to let you know the show is great. He loves the format, discussions, and humor. I spent quite a bit of time here in the UK spreading the word about your podcast.
Thank you very much.
Sweet.
So you're the one.
He says, also, can you please ask Jason to say, oh my God! Oh my God! He said he wants you to say that a lot more. It should be a patented trademark phrase of the show.
I'll have to put that in the next theme song I write for this.
Oh my God! All right. His question says, what really gets my goatee in a twist is boosting achievement scores. Says, it really grates his ass.
That's painful.
Says, the number of times I've jumped into a room and got kicked out because a bunch of morons are boosting, or even worse, getting into a game and end up watching the player standing in a line, getting shot, only to be told that I need to get my ass in line. Because some fool boy needs 10 kills in a row in 10 seconds. That really gets me down. Says, case in point, examples, play multiplayer straight for 8 hours in Grawl 1.
Yeah, that's a
right.
stupid, terrible achievement.
It is. Eliminate 5 human opponents in 30 seconds. Grawl 2. You are asking for a boosting with stupid achievements like these. And you are.
Agreed.
Says, don't get me wrong, I love achievements, and I find more often than not that achievements almost helps you play the game properly and gives replay value, thus getting more money for the for your game. Or more value for the money that you put into your game. An example of perfect use of achievements is Call of Duty 4, no online achievements. Says, how do you feel about developers following suit and removing online achievements in order to improve online and offline experiences? He says, keep up the good work. I wake up every Monday morning looking forward to the latest podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I say get rid of the competitive online achievements, but keep co-op online achievements. Because those are always fun to go through together. That way you also got something to go through with your friend going, hey, man, we need to get this achievement. And, you know, and for two people who are like, all excited about achievements, it like, gives you a reason to go on and get do co-op other than...
I think I agree with that. I don't. The only thing I think about online achievements, and I agree that there are some stupid ones out there that just ask for boosters to show up. What they should do is if you're going to do online achievements and you're going to force them to be in ranked games, just make them cumulative so that people don't sit there and consistently try to do something. Like, say, get 1,000 kills with this gun.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. You'll get that over time as long as you keep playing. The people don't boost for those. People boost for the stupid ones like he's saying, like get 5 kills in 5 seconds.
Or like when you're playing a fighting game and like win 30 matches in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, don't
so you're sitting there tying up the freaking online.
Exactly. Play. If you want to make it an achievement like that, just make win 30 matches over the over your career.
Right.
Right.
Don't make them in a row. Don't make these ridiculous achievements. Like Guitar Hero 3 is hugely guilty of this. Finish a song
half
on expert
the
with a
achievements
controller.
Are online,
yeah, and it's like win 15 score matches in a row. How many people do you get online and you'll play Guitar Hero and you'll get into a score match? They're losing. They'll quit out because they're not getting the achievement. You know, and that's just it's frustrating. And they need to take those out. If you're gonna have ones in like that, make them non-ranked. Wah, yeah, people are gonna get them without achieving anything. But you know what? They're just gonna ruin ranked matches otherwise.
Right.
I don't agree that you should remove online achievements at all. I think they're fun, especially like the cumulative ones that you get over time. Like, oh, you be playing one day and all of a sudden it pops up. Oh, look, I got 100 kills with a shotgun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As long as you don't make it, well, you know, a competitive aspect.
Yeah, as long as it's not, people are constantly going for it.
Right.
Like, Call of Juarez was hugely guilty of this, mm-hmm. where you had to get like 3 kills with one shot of a double barrel shotgun. And I'm like, who on earth is going to get that without boosting? Who is going to fire a double-barrel shotgun and kill 3 guys in one shot? Who's going to do that? If nobody boosted for that, nobody would have ever gotten that achievement. And you know what? I have that achievement. I boosted for it. Damn it. But
you're
it wasn't
part of the problem.
But see, no, the difference is I wasn't in a room with regular players.
Right.
I had got a group of people together and did it ourselves.
Right.
You know, I don't go into games like Gears of War and just jump in there and say, hey, guys, I need to get this achievement, you know, so let me stand in line and kill you. You know, if I'm going to do that, I'll do that with people that I know in a closed game. I don't want people in there because then I'm just ruining their experience.
Hey, achievements are a good thing because, like you said, we discussed this before. They do let you get the full value of the game, but they're also ruining, in some aspects, the multiplayer.
Yeah, and that's why they need to...
Gears of War, it's fun online, but...
not when people are going for the achievements all the time.
It's whatever happened to just playing for fun?
That's what we played Unreal for last night.
Well, I'm not...
There was no achievements going on.
I'm not pointing the fingers anywhere.
No, I understand what you're saying, because there's a lot of nights that we do that. We sit there and just go
and
for
and some nights it's fun to do that, but then I just, you know, want to jump into a game and just, you know, die, because that's all I do.
Well, yeah. Like when we played Halo, we weren't going for achievements.
No, we were just playing for fun.
We're just throwing in for fun.
And you're not hearing those... And it brings another aspect of not hearing those ass monkeys talk, but... It was fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing the Halo game that night. I mean, it was.
Did the developers or publishers actually put these achievements in to, you know, to put them in for boosting? They don't think about that.
I sometimes I wonder, like, the Grawl achievements, the reason why they make them so hard is because people play Grawl religiously.
Yeah.
And they sit there and they go, oh, God, what would the greatest player of all time do? But they don't think about the guys out there that aren't the greatest players that are going to go out and try to get these achievements. And they're like, you have people ruining matches. Not to mention, you know, I'm sorry, Far Cry and Grawl 1 with the play online for so many hours.
Man.
How many systems Red Ring because Far Cry required 50 hours.
50
hours of multiplayer. To get an achievement.
Yeah. How many people actually got that, though?
I don't know. I don't even have it. You know, I didn't play 50 hours of Far Cry multiplayer. My God.
We had fun with Far Cry multiplayer. Yeah.
Oh, I love
though.
Far Cry multiplayer, but 50 hours?
Yeah, that's a little
50
excessive.
Hours?
But I guess we were playing. We weren't boosted. Yeah.
No, we were just
playing for fun.
Making the maps and then like driving the dirt bikes over yeah. the Sea Forks. There's nothing better than that.
That was
awesome. Nothing.
I understand, you know, trying to get the full value of the game, but fucking stop ruining people's fun.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, do it in your own closed environment and don't jump into games with other people. Yeah. Seriously, if you're going to do that, there are plenty of ways. Everybody knows how to do it to get into a ranked game by, you know, just without getting in other people's games. There's ways to do it.
And if you really want to do it, go on late at night with a game that's, you know, not really being played online.
Get online, play some, like literally Condemned last night, there were two games up when we logged on. Two.
There was actually more before I logged off. When I hit quick match, find a quick match, it was like six.
Yeah. Well, there was two when we started playing, two ranked matches going. One of them was empty. One of them had one guy in it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next question comes from Theo, 1130. He says, hey, crew, here's my question. What's your stance on game narrative versus cutscenes? With games like Bioshock and Half-Life pushing the game narrative forward, how do you feel about games like MGS and various JRPGs having long cutscenes? Do you think they're the holy grail of storytelling? To me, gaming is gaming, and to take the player out of it seems to be a misuse of the medium. It's not that I can't stand them, but sometimes they are annoying, even though I still enjoy the game, but for some reason it's always the people with Final Fantasy avatars that seem to love them. It's kind of what Gambus's thread of the Final Fantasy cult kind of proved.
Which, by the way, that thread was epically
that
awesome.
That thread was epic awesome. It really was.
I'm glad you got a chuckle out of it, I guess.
I thought it was so funny having people trying to take it seriously.
Yeah.
But I understand his question of just, like, monstrous cutscenes. Like, Lost Odyssey was very guilty of this. Like, every time you walk three or four steps, you were watching this cutscene that really wasn't relevant to the story. It was just to progress the story. Whereas with Bioshock, there was rarely ever a cutscene. And it was a constant story mover because there was always, like, the tapes you found and the people talking over the speakers or the, you know, Atlas talking to you or Andrew Ryan talking to you, you know, just...
Well, Bioshock is very dynamic and modern in terms of its storytelling.
But Half-Life does it, too.
Yeah.
Half-Life progresses the story by while you're still playing.
There's never a cutscene in that game, so...
You're consistently just playing, whereas with, like, Metal Gear and Final Fantasy and a lot of JRPGs, like he says, there's this long-ass cutscene that gives you a smidgen of story, but it's mostly flash.
I think that in the future, that's going to change, even with the Japanese aspect, because the last couple of game developer conferences, a lot of Japanese people are really taking a liking to the American or the Western approach to game design. So I'm thinking, you know, after the next, you know, MGS game and after, I don't know anything about the Final Fantasy 13. Nobody does, really. But I think that in the next couple years, the Japanese games will play more like Western games, but still retain their Japanese identity in terms of feeling the way that the games feel.
But will those games still be the same? Like, a Final Fantasy game lasts so long because of its level grinding and its backtracking and its cutscenes.
Well, I think it's more or less the level grinding and exploration and the battle system. Cutscenes in Final Fantasy, I mean, if you really add them up, it's only...
Well, not just cutscenes, but I'm sorry, summon spells? Really? Well, like, every time you summon something, you gotta wait, like, 2 minutes?
Well, in Final Fantasy IX, they sped them up where you would get the full animation the first time you summon, and then the second time you would summon, you would just see the actual attack itself.
Well, the thing is, and I'm not saying that they should get rid of summon spells. Blue Dragon's got summon spell kind of things, but you know, and if you want to watch them, then you have the opportunity to watch them. Otherwise, once the transformation happens in Blue Dragon, when it goes from regular dragon to the super duper guy, you can press start and skip over it.
See, that's what, as long as they give you that option, that's fine. If they want to make it flashy, I don't care, because some people like to watch it every time.
Right.
But if you're going to force a player to watch it, then...
Well, now, as far as the cutscenes go, this goes all the way back to my days of Ninja Gaiden, you know, years and years ago. I think cutscenes should be as an award for completing a level. So basically, you just you're like literally exhausted mentally after like kicking the crap out of some boss, and you just want to take a second to kind of kick back and watch the story unfold. I think the only problem what lies in when you get games like Metal Gear or Final Fantasy, and Wombat brought this up, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, where he said that Devil May Cry. There's too many instances where he'll watch a cutscene and go, "Why in the hell am I not
playing that?"
Right.
Yeah, Devil May Cry was so guilty of that. And like you said, the cutscenes didn't progress the story. It was just to show him doing something cool.
Yeah,
that's it's like,
the problem.
You know what? I don't want to watch him doing something cool. I want to do something cool.
But, you know, there are a few games that actually do it right as far as, like, the whole cut. I mean, as much as I always give Metal Gear shit for, you know, walking five steps, there's a cutscene, only to walk to another door to another cutscene, which is, you know, half-heartedly true. But there's a lot of story to be told in Metal Gear. It's confusing as fuck.
Right. As confusing as it is, yeah.
But there's only one game that I played recently that actually does it right, where it not only gives you the cutscenes for the awards, but will give you cutscenes throughout the game at, like, certain checkpoints, which is Uncharted.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. They did it very, very well.
Typically, I'm one of those people who are like, oh, God, I got sit through another cutscene. Right. I just got, you know, into a rhythm with this freaking action game, and I got to stop again for a cutscene. I believe that for the most part, unless developers do it right, but who's to say who does it right and who does it wrong?
It's all in the eye of the beholder.
Right. I really believe that cutscenes should be limited to award aspects.
Well, Ninja Gaiden did that.
Right.
Ninja Gaiden, the Xbox and Sigma version game.
Right.
Yeah. They both, like, after every level, you'd get this really, like, grandiose cutscene. Right. And another thing that I miss, fighting games. What the hell happened to the CGI ending at when you beat the game with the character?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Yeah.
Like, you remember how much you love those? Like, as cheesy as some of them were, like the original Tekken endings. God, the Tekken 3 endings, people love those.
Yeah.
Like, Blade endings. Yeah. I mean,
That's the thing. It's like, and have you noticed that, like, game developers, no matter how many cutscenes they throw out throughout the game, they give you a half-assed ending?
The endings are just nothing anymore.
I mean, it's been a while, and actually Blue Dragon was the first game in a while that I was actually extremely satisfied extremely satisfied beating Blue Dragon. In case the freaking ending was 20 minutes long.
Yeah,
it's like
that
watching
back
an
Army of Two and the
Army
wonderful cutscene and the ending.
Yeah, the cutscene and the ending is just like for anybody. But like, you get to the end of that game,
it's disappointing.
And the last boss, you don't even fight him.
Yeah. Nice.
You just watch a cutscene.
Yeah.
And, like, you literally see, like, the person you've been chasing through the whole game, the two people you've been chasing, they kill them in the cutscene, and that's it. You don't do anything. And then you see him get on the phone and talk to the girl again, and it's over.
Yep.
Credits roll. So, I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's
like, the game just, I was like, is there another level? is there going to be another level?
Something we missed, maybe?
I don't know if we're ever going to really get rid of cutscenes, but
see, I don't think you should.
I agree with Brian. It should be, like, after you just had this intense, like, level of fighting and all this shit.
Yeah.
And you go on, you're like, it gives you a break. And
Or in the case where you get to a point in the game where the storytelling is a necessity. Like, say, you know, I throw back all the way to Shenmue. As you're walking down and you get to a point where you need to make a phone call. I mean, it breaks into a cutscene. Or if you're looking for the symbol for the Wandu characters. Or
the five Wudu.
Yeah, the Wudu, that's what
it is. Have you seen the five Wudu?
Yeah, and you talk to the people in the rooms. The cutscenes weren't CG or anything in Shenmue, but they basically, it was a moment of storytelling where you weren't having to read text.
Right.
But it also didn't put you in a situation where you're like, God damn it, I don't want to play that part. So,
you made me think though of the cutscenes in the Ninja Gaiden games on NES and how awesome they were.
Sure.
Some good stuff.
I guess.
And then now I've had the Ninja Gaiden theme from the NES running in my head ever since you talked about it. So,
yeah.
No, I'm just saying. I guess the more epic the game, the more epic the cutscene. Like in the Final Fantasies.
Yeah, but I mean, still, you can make a game that's epic and not. God of War was epic, and the cutscenes were.
Well, I mean, epic and like length.
Minimal.
Like,
right.
God of War wasn't, like, you know, Final Fantasy long.
Right.
So, I don't know.
All right. Next up comes from Arch Gellin, the King Arch Gellin now. He says, I want to know if you guys were looking forward to Two Worlds on the PlayStation 3.
I brought this up.
If I swear to you, and this is not, I mean, I know we joke around about Two Worlds and everything, but I swear to you, if they fixed the frame rate and they fixed the horse control and they fixed some of the other, like the screen tearing and some of the other little issues with it, I liked the game the way it was, so I'm sure I will enjoy the PlayStation 3 version if any of that stuff is fixed.
Man.
There you go.
No.
Dose Worlds.
No.
Dose Worlds. Whatever.
If they whatever fix all that, I might be back for PS3 version.
Well, as Silfo says, just when you think Two Worlds is done with, the crew suddenly have reasons to drop the name on
yes.
our podcasts.
Yeah.
So
every week we will find a way.
All right, next up. PS360 Wii has three quickies. He says, speaker built into controller. Amazing or silly?
Depends on the game.
Yep.
You know what's funny? Ever since the whole No More Heroes thing, where you said they used it as a cell phone?
Yeah.
Every time I watch a Grand Theft Auto trailer and they talk about the phone, I wish that it had the speaker in it, because I think it would be so cool to put it up to your ear and listen to somebody talking to you in your ear instead of actually through the television.
Yeah, that was one of the few things in No More Heroes that I really enjoyed was the cell phone conversation through
right.
the speaker.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it can be amazing or silly, or just yep. amazingly silly.
Right.
That's what it was in No More Heroes. It was amazingly silly.
There you go. All right. Can games be both hardcore and casual?
Oh,
case
yeah.
case in point,
yeah.
Halo, Tetris, mm-hmm. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
You just
Smash
named
Brothers,
them all.
Guitar Hero.
Mm. Yeah.
Guitar Hero is a big one. So.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely they can be.
All right. This is a good one for you. Are RPGs getting a bit too easy with save anywhere and the ability to see and avoid enemies?
No.
Well, unless you're playing that one game you were talking about earlier.
Right.
Mystery
yeah.
dungeon of death and destruction and sadism.
Do you think RPGs are getting too easy nowadays with save anywhere?
It depends on the game. Some games, yes. Some games, no.
I applaud anybody to put save anywhere in a game. Because I'm sorry, my life is extremely complex. And I don't have time to worry about whether or not do I have time to play this game? Do I have time to sit down? Or do I have to, if somebody calls and say, hey, there's an emergency going on, well, shit, I got to get to a checkpoint first.
Right.
I want to be able to stop anywhere the hell I want to.
Yeah. Definitely.
I know some games, it can't be done because of the way a particular game is structured.
Yeah.
RPGs
yeah.
are great examples of save anywhere is a godsend.
Like FPSs, you should be able to save anywhere.
Right.
But I think you could increase the overall difficulty of the game if, Lost Odyssey does it pretty well in terms of boss fights. They're kind of like large, very high hurdles.
Right.
You know, and...
Or another good example, if you can't save anywhere... I bring up the Simpsons game just because it's what I've been playing recently that does it. But there's a lot of saves in that game. Mm. There's a lot of auto saves.
Yeah.
Basically, after big moments, it auto saves. So, say if you're doing, or what else was I playing that was Uncharted? Another good example. You get through a big firefight. You may not be through the level hell. You may not even be to the last checkpoint. But you just got to this part, and it saves at a good part. Granted, you can save anywhere, but it only takes you to, like, a
yeah.
big climatic moment. And I think if you keep it to that realm, that's very acceptable too. But
yeah.
to go back, I was playing Dragon Quest a little bit while I was on, as much as I love the game, you gotta go to a freaking church and save. If you're
yeah.
not close to a church, you don't save.
Yeah.
So there could be like hours in between fighting and getting to the next town that has a church in it.
So
you're stuck.
The question is, does
so
make
what
it
happens
things
if
easier?
If a power
yeah.
goes out or
yeah.
or your system red rings.
This is a long answer for this.
Well, I'm just saying, I think the developers now know that gamers actually have lives. And maybe. And
some of them do.
To let you save anywhere, it doesn't make the game easier. I don't see how it affects gameplay at all. It just lets you go out and maybe take a breather, go get some food because you need to eat.
Well, it can make the game easier because you can save every step you take,
right.
every move you make.
Every move or you it could actually make the game much more difficult if you're in a area that you shouldn't be in and you basically barely live.
You overwrite your save.
Yeah, and you overwrite and then you're stuck in this area where you can't go back to the last town and you can't escape because you got like one hit
right.
point left.
And not to mention, Save Anywhere does kind of it decreases some of the urgency or tension in a game. If, for instance, you're about to, if you're about to fight something that's very hard, and you can save anywhere, you can just save right before you fight it, and then you don't really, I mean, you want to beat it, but you don't really care if you die. Whereas, if you're going to have to go all the way back to the last checkpoint, well, it creates a real sense of kind of dread and urgency.
That also works to your advantage, too, if you're in a case of, you know, rage, like I do. If you can't beat that motherfucker,
yeah.
and you want to take a break,
no,
you can start off.
Trust me, I love Save Anywhere. So. But I just from the other side, I can see that there are some things that it does decrease in a video game.
Nah.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time to answer questions. We have hit the sweet spot. We've hit the sweet spot, so we're going to end the show out. But first, I'm going to let Mr. Wombat do his duty.
Do my duty.
So we have the winners.
We do have the winners, but there is one thing that I unfortunately need to announce first. Due to legal issues at THQ, and we just found out about this, due to legal issues at THQ, they apparently are not going to be printing the Destroy All Human t-shirts that we had listed as a second prize. I can't apologize enough for that. They let us know just a day or so ago, but they're going to be getting us some replacement prizing. So if you're picked for a second prize, you will get a prize. Trust me, if I have to go out and buy it myself, you'll get a prize. It just will not be the Big Willy t-shirt.
Get a stick of gum.
Some expired candy.
Right. Because, like I said, that THQ apparently run into some legal issue with the t-shirt, and they're not going to be able to print it out. So I want to go ahead and apologize in advance for that. But like I said, if you're picked as second prize, you won't be getting the t-shirt, but you will get something, and I'll let you know via email what it's going to be.
I for the PC.
Nice.
I'm
nice.
Sure they'll enjoy that.
So, all right. So we'll get into it here. Should I go from the bottom to the top?
Yeah, go from the bottom to the top.
All right. So your third prize winner and the winner of a Destroy All Humans Big Willy bobblehead is going to be – okay, third prize winner of, like I said, a Destroy All Human bobblehead is going to be Mr. R.U. Joshin, forum moderator and very active on the forum, sent in a code word.
And was a lot of willies.
Yeah, he sent in a ridiculous entry with about 6,000 willies in it. But you won third prize. I should note that these were picked at random out of a box. They were drawn out of a box. So, you won the bobblehead. I'll get in contact with you. I still need your address. So I need you to send me your address, but I'll get in contact with you about the. Shipping and everything. Second prizes, what was supposed to be the t-shirt and will now be a prize to be named later. First winner of a second prize was Thin King Arch Gellin. Also winning a second prize, Don't Panic. Don't Panic won a prize. I'm not telling you
I'm
not
to trying
panic
not to panic. I didn't win a prize.
So Don't you guys, panic. Like I said, I promise you I will get you something. THQ is working something out. I will let you know via email what that's going to be and get it shipped out to you as quick as I possibly can. Now, our first prize winners of a copy of Destroy All Humans Big Willy Unleashed for the Wii. We have three winners. The first one apparently is not an N4G member because I don't have a username, but Patrick Williams is the person's name. So there you go. Second person who won a copy of Big Willy Unleashed is McGraw Gamer, and the other person who won a copy of Big Willy Unleashed is forum member Hentai. So I will get in contact with all of you, everybody
Hentai.
Who won. I will get in contact with all of you regarding the prizes and about getting them shipped out. I'll get in contact with you both when I'm shipping it out, and if you can email me back when you get it, obviously that would be helpful. But I'll shoot you guys an email as soon as Monday rolls around and you find out that you're winners. I broke the fourth wall here. But congratulations to all of you. Thanks to THQ for the prizes.
And thanks to your Big Willy.
And thanks to Big Willy.
It seems like you're a bunch of Willy Winners.
There you go.
We have Willy Winners.
Indeed. So congratulations to everybody that won, and I hope you enjoy the prizes, and hopefully I'll be able to get them out to you as quick as I possibly can.
And that wraps up the entire show.
Yeah, it does.
I will not be here next week.
Ow!
Because I have to work that Sunday, as that following Thursday, I am heading off to Las Vegas for the Midway Conference.
Oh,
so I will be back on the 20th, a week from this. Next Sunday.
So we'll have a free pass to rip on Prologue next week.
Not only will I be able to talk about the Midway Conference, but I will have bought at that time, which comes out the 16th, Gran Turismo Prologue.
And you
so I will give
it.
My hands on impressions, and much like Viking, make you buy it.
Buy it.
You don't understand. You don't understand how awesome it is.
You don't even know.
Or I could be on the podcast in 2 weeks and go, yeah. I spent $40.
I spent $40 on a demo. What the hell?
Yeah.
But only time will tell. So see you in 2 weeks.
Time will tell.
But congratulations to all the winners of the contest.
Congratulations.
We'll be back next week to finish up the questions. Hopefully the fondling won't go on quite as long, which is why we ran into the sweet spot.
Yeah.
So we had to get out of here.
Happens though, when you fondle so much, you hit the sweet spot.
It does. You also go blind
find it eventually.
All right. So Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
Never gonna give you up.
I told you to get out of here, Rick Astley. I will not tell you again.
Blacktop pavements cover me like a chemical reaction or a steamroller spreading randomly. There's a distance buzz and the frequency, it tickles my ear, rumbles under my feet, and it shakes the leaves off of every tree. Violently, what pretension, everlasting peace. Shadowed stain on the west facade, it spread like decay to entrap the fraud, and the descendants find it oh so odd. Oh so odd, what pretension and everlasting peace. The comforting caress of a mother or a friend you've always known. It evokes such pain and significance. What was once is reduced to remembrance, and the generations pass without recompense. Oh, thank you.
check
and brown cow, motherfucker.
I'm telling that joke. I'm telling it.
Worst joke.
All right, here we go. I'm telling it right now. Here we go. What do you guys get? No, wait, hold on. Let me start it over. I'm going to do it a different way. What do you call a brown chicken and a brown cow?
A brown chicken.
And a brown cow.
And a brown cow. I don't know. Please enlighten me.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh, my God.
That was a terrible joke.
That's the point. The point is that it's a terrible joke. But now, even though it's a terrible joke, I dare you, the next person that says, brown chicken, wow, wow, I dare you to not think brown chicken, brown cow, because you will.